United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as part of the PTL club.
Credit card, right?
Big bucks.
So no one cares. And just so you know, in fairness, right?
Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon. Right. You know, I'm supposed to. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour, 12 noon, here on the, I think today is the 3rd of April. I don't know about you, those of us who are living here in Northeast Ohio, but can somebody just turn the heat on? I mean, if you can turn the heat on a little bit, I would really greatly appreciate it because I'm really cold today.
34 degrees or something like that out there.
Freezing 32. See what I mean? It's kind of cold.
Yeah.
I'm really cold today. Can y'all just find a way to just ask God to turn on the heat? The number is 347-945-5229. Today it is hump day. Sticks and I are here in the studio, and we're going to have an open mic. We don't have anyone scheduled, but we're going to try to hone in on a couple topics. Sticks is talking about education. I've got to talk about a posting where I see, let me pull it up first. I put it on my Facebook page. I want to talk about Republican politics. I'm going to might as well bring it up. There is going to be Chairman Bob Bennett is going to be stepping down as chairman of the Ohio Republican Party. And I want to talk about Matt Borges and Tom Zelkowski, who is now running for chairman. And he wants a Tea Party guy and wants a little bit more of a mainstream guy. So I want to bring that up. So if anybody wants to put that into their conversation, if they can. We'll talk about what else is in the news, Dick?
Well, there's all kinds of things going on. I mean, you've got North Korea's waging declaring war on South Korea again. You're out. She's totally out of jerky.
See, why did you tell we had jerky on Monday? You're supposed to bring food on Wednesday.
I got more at home.
You know why?
Yeah, because the other guys help you eat it. You want to keep it all to yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just as long as you understand. Food is for Monday.
For Wednesdays.
Food is not for Monday.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to share on Mondays.
Okay.
Wednesdays, you don't want any. I don't have to share.
Well, I got plenty of it at home. I mean, I'm pretty well jerkied out.
Jeff is eating all the pickles.
Oh, I got.
Doesn't matter. Don't be bringing food in there on Monday.
Oh,
bring it on Wednesday.
All right.
So we don't have to share. Okay, I'm done.
So can we go back to North Korea?
Go back to North Korea. South
and we're
Korea.
Sending the USS John McCain over there to do what? I have no idea. Shoot down a missile, I guess. I don't know. It's a guided missile destroyer, I think.
Oh, they're telling them to chill out. We're in trouble. I mean, you know that, right?
Well, the whole world's on fire. The Middle East is on fire. North Korea, they got a 28-year-old kid running that country. He's got nuclear weapons.
So?
And he's purging everybody that was loyal to his dad.
Is he? Okay. Was his dad crazy?
Seems like they're getting progressively crazier.
But was his dad nuts?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. What's going on in Venezuela?
I haven't heard
anything down there?
No.
Okay. So Chavez is and his people, because after he died, you know, they were talking about the transition of power and what was going to happen
right
down there. So they're a little quiet down there.
I haven't heard anything about Venezuela.
And Putin said, get out, don't come over here. Take our kids.
Right.
And
Putin also, I mean, the Russians are buying gold as a hedge against the U.S. printing dollars.
Where gold don't, our dollars ain't worth the gold.
I think that's the end game. I think Brazil, Russia, India, and China are going to create some kind of consortium and get the world to divorce the dollar as a global currency.
You think that's going to happen?
I think it's going to happen. I mean, we can't continue to print dollars out of thin air the way we're doing it and expect the rest of the world to just be happy and hunky-dory with it. I mean, it just doesn't work like that.
It just doesn't work like that, huh?
Every place that's ever been tried is resulted in a collapsed economy. Nobody can give me a single example of a nation who has gone to a totally fiat currency and printed it out of thin air, that it didn't eventually end up in hyperinflation and collapse.
Well, you know my take on this, and I am not happy. If you don't know that, I'm not. I believe that America is in serious trouble. Their arrogance, their
mm-hmm.
cockiness. On Friday, we have Jonathan Kahn going to come back on with us and hang out with us. So mark your calendars. Jonathan Kahn wrote The Harbingers. We're going to be talking about Isaiah 9:10 again.
Good. That was very interesting.
We're going to do this again. We're going to continue to do this. I know that some of you are not Bible believers, and it's okay that you're not Bible believers. It's okay. I'm not going to try to sit here on Tracy and Friends and convert you to become a Bible believer. But for those of us who say we do, we need to stand up and act like it. And acting like it is loving the hell out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And being honest with them and not allowing them to walk into a burning building without telling them that it's on fire.
Right. Right. Ben Carson got himself in trouble. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. Because he I try to tell y'all, and y'all don't listen to me. You know, when you go into the media, like talk radio,
mm-hmm.
Hannity, go on Fox News, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it out loud. Just because you believe it and think that it's going to go that way doesn't mean that you're supposed to put it on public display. Because everybody's not prepared for you comparing their sexual lifestyle with bestiality and or NAMLA.
Right, right. And I saw him this morning. He was on Stuart Varney's show on the Business Network. And he said he had a poor choice of words.
It was a poor choice of words, but you can't, I mean, and that's something that conservatives have a problem with.
Yeah.
Conservatives are so passionate that they're too stupid to fight. You know, when you go into war or when you go into a battle, you do not take your emotions with you.
Right.
And conservatives have a big problem of taking their emotions and not their head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is because it is male-oriented.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
I don't think it's emotion so much as it's just
it's passion,
but we're also factual people.
No.
Conservatives on average deal in facts you'll find more engineers and those types of people as conservatives than you will find English teachers.
But when I say this, that doesn't mean you use your head. Just because you got the facts doesn't mean you use your head when you're trying to fight. Because you don't take you know, a knife to a gunfight. And conservatives have a way of trying to put all the facts on the table and think just because it's the facts or just because it's the truth, everybody's going to see it their way.
Well, we have a bad problem with open mouth, insert foot.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And it's because of the passion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the facts. You guys said, well, this is how it is. You can't change blue into red. And people tell you, yes, you can. And you say, no, you can't. And you fight on that.
Right.
Instead of just coming to a way of saying the only way that you can turn blue into red is to erase the blue. And there's a better way to say it. You don't compare people's sexual acts. Because not everybody that is a homosexual or has a gay tendency is a pedophile.
True.
And because people don't understand that, but they don't understand that it will go to a place where when you start opening up Pandora's box about homosexuality and I have a right to sleep, choose, and marry whom I choose, it will go to a pedophilia state.
Well, because human beings always gravitate towards the lowest common denominator.
They gravitate, but you can't tell them that in open mouth, or insert foot. What you tell them is it is a progression. So you go from that to that. What you're saying is, whomever I choose because of the Constitution, no matter how you feel, if I choose to marry my dog, or if I choose to marry my child, because I believe that I have a choice. Because right now we're allowing children to choose their sexual orientation or their sexual identity. I went home last night and I was watching Josh Prost, and Josh Prost was talking, had sexual something when you change your gender, and so you say that you're actually born a man or born a woman, and a gender re-identification
mm-hmm.
surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this on. And there are young people who they're allowing to give hormones and they're giving things to them so that it stops their puberty. So girls will not develop breasts and men will not develop testicles. And it will slow down their process. And they're doing this at a young age. You understand that?
Yeah, I
And so when you say that I am now calling my gender identification abnormal, and this is who I normally am, this is who I was, mm-hmm. I was born this way with this tendency or with this affection, what we're doing is we're getting to the place where in the future, not today, but in the future, it will open up a door for people to say, well, I'm naturally born to love my child in this way or to love this in this way. And I think this is going to make them healthy. And you can make a case for anything, but they don't look at it that way because we come out and just put pedophilia on the end.
Right.
And we can't do that.
Right, we can't.
We can't. But not.
I mean, there's so many things that are happening with science and with medicine and so many things that are changing. You know, the president, now he wants to be able to map my brain, and he wants to develop the way to basically change the way your brain works. And personally, that scares me.
Scares me too.
You know, because now you've got a government that has the ability to change the way you think.
Okay.
If he gets what he wants.
Okay.
And not just try to influence you, but to actually put an electrode on your head and change the chemistry and the makeup of your brain if they get what they want.
But you can alter anything. If you look at fruit, you know, let's be honest about this. We drink, or we should say we eat watermelon, and we eat seedless watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Seedless watermelon is chemically altered or genetically altered to become seedless because everything comes with a seed.
I'm not sure if that was if it was man-made or if it was – because a lot of the genetics – are basically just breeding.
Breeding of what? Everything has a seed.
But if you find...
Where do you find fruit without a seed? Name me another fruit without a seed, including a banana. may mean anything without a seed.
Well, that's the I mean, that's the
so how
reason
you,
for having fruit is to nourish and grow the seed.
So how do you come up with seedless watermelon?
You got seedless grapes.
And how do you come up with seedless grapes?
I don't know if it was
that
done.
It had to be chemically altered to create a way to have a seed that has no fruit. Because everything that came had a seed.
Yeah, but we breed cattle.
And cattle have seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Name me something without a seed. Flowers have seeds.
Grapes and watermelons are the only thing I...
And so,
is there seedless oranges?
No. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is.
Oh, well, that I don't know. I don't.
I think, yeah, I think somehow...
But even oranges, not all. I mean, if you even your watermelons and your lemons and your limes, all everything has a seed. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
Grapefruit don't have seeds.
Grapefruit does have seeds.
I think they got seedless grapefruit.
No, I don't know about that. I know my grapefruit has a seed.
Why'd you bring that picture up?
Because that's what I'm gonna talk about today. Because I'm really gonna talk about this. You know, y'all might as well. You might not like what I say, but you know, I'm gonna say it out loud. Does that look normal to you?
No.
Okay, I had to bring up the names because it was just getting me because I didn't have the names up because I was getting ready to call the wrong people out. I want y'all to. And I got if you go to my Facebook page, there is a rapper, which is P. Diddy, and Rick Ross. With their tongue out, get ready to kiss on stage. Y'all follow
that's
it.
Just wrong.
It
was wrong. It was wrong when Britney Spears and Madonna did it, and it's just wrong.
Is anybody paying attention? Do we understand this is not normal? I mean, seriously. And so these are kids' role models. Now, you know, you have to realize AIDS in the black community. African-American women are dying from AIDS at a more rapid rate than the white counterparts, more than gays now.
Mm-hmm.
Because African-American males are going into the penitentiary.
And
they're coming home with AIDS.
The gift that keeps on giving.
And they keep on giving. And they keep on spreading and they keep on giving. Do we not understand what's really going on here? And now we've got these two big, bulky, black, mandingo men sucking face in a photo.
On stage. I wonder how many people were in the audience.
I don't know. I don't care if there was only two people in the room. My question is, they're not gay. So they
how
say.
Do you know?
That's what I said, so they say.
I mean, I'm not kissing another man on the lips. I don't care. There ain't enough money on the planet.
I'm just saying, Stick. I mean, we coming out, and I don't know where we going, but somebody's coming out. This is just absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is.
And we are going to have to acknowledge the insanity of what's going on. So when you talk about the world is on fire and America is sitting here with kerosene and
gasoline.
Gasoline, any type of an accelerant, do we really understand that everybody in the world has a match that they want to throw here?
Well, yeah. I mean, no, some of us do, but I don't think the people in authority do. I honestly believe that the power elite in this country honestly believe that they can keep doing what they're doing morally and economically and spiritually, and there's going to be no repercussions from it.
Are we not paying attention to what we're doing? And so when I look at people, and I say this to conservatives at large, I understand you don't like what's going on. I understand that there's a lot of things, but it's past money now. It's past.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious. This is supernatural. And we're going to have to pay attention to what we're doing because we're going to die if we don't. Hey, South Carolina, how are you, honey?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I was doing, you know, I got issues. I'm serious. I got issues.
Hell, and they're having more and more of them every day.
I've got issues. I've got issues with conservatives being stupid and not being able to articulate their point of view and letting people know we're not being exclusive. What we're trying to say is we will tolerate what you do. We just won't accept your life. and I'm not going to call it normal.
And I think that's the biggest issue that I run into is when you want to call something normal and it's not normal, and you speak out about it, people say that you're intolerant or a bigot. I've gotten called a bigot more times in the past month, probably.
I didn't think black men could be bigots.
Oh.
Well, not according to Facebook.
Not only that, if you look at, I mean, have you seen Magic Johnson's son?
Yeah, I saw that one. That was kind of a shocker. I had no idea.
Well, I knew he was switching, but I didn't know he was going to switch that far. But let me say this. I understand, parents, listen, I know you love your children. I do. I understand that. But just because you love them, you don't have to condone everything they do. If your son is Jeffrey Dahmer, do you have to say, I love and support everything my son does, when you know that what you are doing is not absolutely normal, not right?
Don't forget about Chaz Bono.
Oh, man.
Chastity.
Yeah. But even so,
She was on Dancing with the Stars and everything. I mean,
listen,
you can dance with the Pope
if you choose to. Just don't make me say
what you're doing is right.
That what you're doing is right. You know, people are fornicating, committing adultery every day. People are doing things. They're not raising their children every day. They're cursing at their parents every day. I'm not calling all that right. A American citizen in the chat room, yes, Magic Johnson has a gay son, and when you say gay, he is flaming. I was just so over the top because I didn't know he was that much of a flame. And for those of you who don't know, flame, it means highly feminine. Woo! He's more feminine than most women. He's more feminine than all the women I know. I don't know none of us that are that. He's almost RuPaul.
You know, when I see...
He's just not that pretty.
But when I see people like that, sometimes I wonder if maybe they weren't born hermaphrodites and somebody and the parents picked the wrong one.
No.
Because they do that surgery, you know.
No, let me tell you what it is.
What is it?
We make punks out of our kids. That's what mama and grandmama raising them babies and holding on to them and taking them little girls and little boys and won't let them go when they're babies. Little boys, when they're raised and they have the penis at the bottom, what that means is that they're a little boy. You raise them as such and you quit babying them. They're little boys.
Oh, we are destroying our warrior class.
This ain't a warrior class. We just want a man to be stand up and be a man. He ain't got to go to war.
But he's got to act like a man. We have an education system that's by and large run by women. And we teach these kids... You know, we take away everything that makes a boy a boy. You know, they're not allowed to play tag. They're not allowed to play tackle football at lunch. They're not allowed to throw snowballs at each other. They're not allowed to play cops and robbers.
You've got to understand, we do this before they even get to that age. We dress them up like little girls when they're kids, like their little baby dolls. Because daddy ain't around, and if daddy is around, mama will tell daddy to shut his mouth. That's why we got little girls running around here at Victoria's Secrets in the pink collection. And dads are upset about them dressing up their little girls with that. And mom says it's okay because it's okay for her to look pretty underneath her clothes. So she can't wear regular bloomers.
So what do you do? I mean, if you women ain't going to listen to your men.
We don't need, that's what I said Monday. You guys, I was trying to tell you guys, we have lost our minds. Because we'll tell you in a minute, I don't need a man. And if we don't say it out loud, we say it silently. We only want you to move furniture. And as a matter of fact, I was doing some research on last evening. They've got more self-sexual gratification stuff out there than I've ever realized in my whole life. I never knew that business was so booming.
Oh, it's huge.
And
so,
Tracy, I got a shocker yesterday. I mean, there was a comment that I reposted concerning someone and Ben Johnson, Ben Carson, and they thought that he was highly highly offensive to some individuals. But then, you know, I posted it, reposted on my Facebook page, and someone posted me back and said that Ben Johnson was an idiot. And so we had our little dialogue and so forth, and I just came down to the bottom of it because she was, you know, she was saying that homosexuals or same-sex marriage, you know, can be supported by Christians and so on and so forth. And I said, well, listen, let me ask you this. You know, if God does not support sin in no way, shape, form, or fashion, and if you call yourself a Christian, if you say yourself a Christian, I'm not judging you by your heart, because I don't know your heart, but I can very surely judge you by your fruit. If you're saying that's okay with God, then aren't you not calling God a liar? And are you not supporting a lifestyle of sin or supporting that system yourself and calling yourself a Christian? You're in league you're in league with the devil, and you're a double-minded person, and you will have some issues. I never could get an answer out of them. I've come to that conclusion. I just come to that conclusion. Yeah, if you do that and you support it wholeheartedly and call people other individuals that do not support it, you call them bigots, the issue's not mine. The issue's yours.
But this is my issue. We are in a society now where parents who love their children, who say they go to church, who say they are Christians, are in favor and or supporting this behavior. Hey, listen, I expect the world, I expect for anybody who is not inside of the quote-unquote Christian faith, I expect for them to do whatever, blow stuff up. I expect for them to, you know, go down the street naked. I expect for them to do anything that they choose to do. I'm not surprised by that. But what I am surprised by, I'm surprised at the quietness and the apathy of the people who said they know who Jesus is. See, that's where the hypocrisy really comes to a head.
Well, somehow we've lost the concept of love the sinner and hate the sin.
No. Somehow we've come to the concept that we're not who we say we are, period, in what we believe. Because how in the world can a man be a preacher in a pulpit and not say anything against the behavior that's going on in the country and inside the homes of the congregation?
I don't know. My preacher does. But, yeah, we've got...
What do? We go to church to feel good?
A lot of people do.
Stay home.
A lot of people do.
You got President Obama. He went to a church on Sunday, and they were telling them that the Republicans getting ready to put you to the back of the bus. They're going to make sure that women are barefoot and pregnant and make sure gays go...
No, it's the religious leaders. He didn't say Republicans. He said...
Conservatives.
He said religious. He said religious... I can't
remember. Is that not a Republican?
Not necessarily.
It ain't Democrats. So who was he talking about?
Anybody that disagreed with him.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now somebody got to tell me something, because this is what really irks me. It chaps my hindquarters. At what point did disagreeing with Democrats make you a bigot?
The day that the White House turned black.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I said it out loud.
Well, we're not, you know, you're just not allowed to disagree with anybody anymore.
Tolerance does not mean acceptance. Tolerance means I will not beat you down for what you believe, but I'm not going to condone how you live. Do we not get that?
Well,
when are we going to...
the political correctness
thing. They're getting tolerance confused with character. Tolerance means I will keep my mouth shut until you leave the room. Character is what I do whether you're in the room or not. That's where the problem comes in. They're asking people to have bad character.
No, what they're asking me to do is to...
What they're demanding we do is sit down, shut up, and accept what they want, whether we know it's right or not.
They're asking me to affirm nonsense. And I'm just saying this out loud. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to go to break in a minute. But I'm just saying this. And I'm saying it out loud because a lot of people are thinking it and won't say it. And I understand that.
A lot of people are afraid to say it.
And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of this. I got my issues, and we're all messed up. None of us are great. So don't get it twisted. So I'm not saying that I'm any better than anyone else. And don't tell me, well, Tracy, because you don't have children, you just don't understand. But the apathy of the American parent is disgustingly sick. Whether it be in their education, whether it be in taking care of your children, or whether it be in the behavior of your child. And we shouldn't be surprised, because anytime you can curse your parents and live.
I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. Make another one look just like you.
I'm not making no more. There is a problem here, and we are buying into a lifestyle that we should not buy into, and at the end of it, it's going to be destruction on all of us for us being apathetic about what's going on.
Do you feel like John crying out in the wilderness?
Man, I do. I do.
I'm serious.
I do. And the destruction of the family, the erosion of the male figurehead, the elevation of the male wife, whatever that is. We have issues, and we need to address them. Because we got little girls, raising little boys to be little girls.
There's a female scientist out there that's saying that the males will be extinct in another
5 million years.
Well, yeah. Listen, let me explain this to you. And then I'm gonna take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Do you understand that if we all convert over to a homosexual lifestyle, there will be no future? I'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples barbecue sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Some teenagers from Austintown who formed a band will be in Hollywood later this month to perform. The group, called Northern Whale, will play at the House of Blues. They were nominated for several awards by the Indie Music Channel and online radio station. A man from Austintown was arraigned this week for a home invasion last January in which a gun was fired. 21-year-old Markel Clemens is facing 8 criminal charges. A 7-year-old child was sleeping at the home at the time of the alleged invasion. A condemned Ohio killer has made an unusual plea for mercy ahead of his scheduled execution next month. Attorneys for Stephen Smith argued that while Smith intended to rape his girlfriend's 6-month-old daughter, he never intended to kill the girl. Smith's attorneys say evidence shows the baby died because Smith was too drunk to realize that his attack was killing the child. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
We were with Julie and Ben when they ran into trouble on their way to daycare. We were with the Nelsons to help them plan their vacation of a lifetime. We were with Paul when he needed affordable car insurance from someone he knows and trusts.
And we'll be there with you.
Who are we? We're AAA. If you're already a member, renew. Not a member? Join and save $10 on a new membership through May 31st at AAA.com or stop by any nearby office. AAA, we're always with you.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to tell you that today is the 4th of April, and wish everyone out there who's having a birthday, happy birthday, and to say I appreciate all of you guys, and you hear me rant and rave, but I got issues today. I do. I talked to one of our callers that called in yesterday, and I want to tell him that it was such a pleasure to meet him by phone. He lives out in Diamond, Ohio. And I called him when I left the studio, and I pray for him, and I thank him because he sure did make my heart feel good. The number is 347-945-5229. Stick is in studio with me. South Carolina's on the phone. I got to bring this up in conjunction to and with what we were talking about. There was a portrait of Jesus Christ. Whether you like the color, the portrait, the color of Jesus, however it was, there was a portrait of a depiction of a man who they called Jesus inside of a school in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's been hanging on the wall since 1947. And a lawsuit was brought against the school district for hanging a religious picture inside of a school district, inside of a school building. So what they did was they actually gave the picture to a club. And the club continued, it's called the High C and the High Y Club. And it was a Christian-based service club that the school says that owned the portrait, and they let it hang there for a little bit longer. The ACLU has taken up, and we're going to bring somebody on soon who is going to give some more information on the ACLU. But the ACLU put this lawsuit in about the religious freedom for people inside of our public school systems. And they have now, the school district has now decided to pull it down because they could not afford the lawsuit to make sure, to make the picture stand there. Listen.
It's happening all the time now. They can't afford the litigation.
You can't afford the litigation, but you got to understand. But they want to make you go to public school. They don't believe that parents have a knowledge base to do what's right for their kids. And they're making sure that the people are stupid and uninformed and ill-informed so that they can't make good judgment decisions based on their children. And they're allowing things to happen so it will erode people and it will create another slavery class.
Yeah, it's John Dewey.
Who's John Dewey?
He's the father of modern education. And he was funded in large part by the Rockefellers and the Carnegies at the University of Chicago. And this is where this is all leading. It's been going on for 100 years. You know, Woodrow Wilson said the purpose of education is to make a boy as unlike his father as possible. And that's what they want. They want to destroy everything that we hold dear.
I hate the number 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I just have problems, and I have a problem with, and I don't have a problem with all of America. If the majority of America feels this way, okay. But they say
every time gay marriage goes before the voters,
it goes down.
It goes down. The only states that have gay marriage are states where it was done through their legislatures.
But again.
California voted it down, for heaven's sakes.
And
hey, Tracy?
Yes, Al?
You notice that the majority of folks support vouchers. But even the legislators, they voted down. Think about it.
But it's not about the people anymore. It's about the process. And the people are too ignorant to work inside the process to know how it works. You got to understand, we go to vote and think we've done something. It's like, you know, when you go to a school board meeting or go to a city council meeting, you ever notice that they don't do anything except for vote what's on a piece of paper, and you don't know what's on the piece of paper, yet the vote always seems to be like, if you got a board of 7, it's 7-0 or 7-2. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
It's because the work was done before they walked in the room, and it's just because you can't meet. And take action does not mean you don't meet by phone, in multiples of three, so you do not have a quorum to get things done. And people think that they go to vote, and their vote really counts into the action of what's going to happen. They're not realizing all they're doing is going to vote on who I've already chosen for you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the last two elections proved it. We got the people we were told we were going to have.
Absolutely. And people have not been educated on how to push the system, and they want to work from the outside in instead of from the inside out. And that brings me into what's going on with the Ohio State Republican Party. Tom Zielinski is going to run against Matt Borges for chairman because Chairman Bennett is going to step down. And instead of them actually knowing how to move the wheels of the party from the inside out, you've got Tom who's pushing from the outside in, and Matt who's pushing from the inside out. Where does the strength lie?
Inside out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because even if the other guy gets elected, he's not going to be able to do anything.
Absolutely. You have to understand, we have not learned how this system actually works. And they have kept the American electorate extremely ignorant.
No, they have turned the American electorate, because over 100 years ago, people understood this stuff.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. No.
De Tocqueville wrote about the average citizen could sit and have an open discussion about the Constitution, about the political system.
No, the learned could.
No.
Sticks.
I'm telling you what the man wrote.
I don't care what the man wrote. Well, you have to understand, I wasn't allowed to read what he wrote. They wouldn't teach me to read. So how could I read what he wrote, and now you make me a part of the electorate? And now you tell me we're a part of the majority? Absolutely not. You got to understand, no, poor people couldn't read.
Yes, poor people could read.
Poor people couldn't read.
Poor people could read.
Poor people couldn't read. They could not read because they had to leave to go and work at an early age. They had a knowledge base, don't get me wrong. And it's not because of their stupidity and their ignorance. But they were not there to read. They could work numbers. They could work on a farm.
I'd like to know what the literacy. You can't run a farm if you can't read.
You can't run a farm if you cannot compensate, but you cannot read.
I would like to see.
You got Google right in front of you. People were smarter then, but the erosion started way back. That's why women weren't voting then. Yes, Al.
But you have.
We knew in the black community, particularly why the pastor was so powerful back in the day and still today.
He was the only one that knew anything.
Not only because of tradition, he was the only one that could read and comprehend
And then he would come back and tell me what he wrote or what he read because I couldn't read it. I mean, it's hard to say that, but it is true. I mean, they were smart people, but the literacy rate was not very, very high because you had steel workers. Look at your laborers coming up. Look at your steel workers. They were not the most literate people in the world, but they knew how to get things done inside that mill, and they could be led. And then women were not allowed to vote, and they were usually more literate than the men. And then you had black people who couldn't vote, and they killed us if we had tried to learn how to read. And they added us to the equation and changed the rules of the game. Hey, Sticks, do you realize, Pat, do you realize 40 years ago, women didn't have the right to own their own credit card?
40 years ago?
1969, 1970, 68.
Married women or single women?
Didn't matter. You had to have a male in the house. You couldn't buy a house without a man signed for it. You couldn't have your own credit. You understand that, right?
No.
It
was women in my family that's owned property forever.
We're not talking about the ownership of the property. We're talking about buying the property. Just because she inheriting the property is one thing, but buying it is another. Having credit is another.
It says here the literacy rate in 1900 was 90%.
90% of who?
90% of everybody.
You really believe that?
That's what it says right here.
That's not what I asked you. Everything on the internet's not right.
Well, I've looked at three different places. I've looked at three different sources, and they've all said the literacy rate in 1900 in the United States was 90%.
Okay, let's look at this. Look at the people who were not allowed to read.
In 1900, everybody was allowed to read in 1900.
No.
Yes, 1900.
No.
Not 1860.
No. No, Stick. No.
Help me out here, Sal.
He can't.
Well, on this... Here's the problem. Because I know certain things from being down here, you may have been literate to a certain point. You may have been able to say your ABCs and count from 1 to 10. Now, that may have been counted as literacy, but being proficient on a level up to third grade, I'll let you throw my tenants here, and it's just not fair. Even with the tenants that are white, it's just not fair.
Hey, Sticks, let's look at our own local vindicator.
Right.
What grade level do you think that paper's written on?
I think you said something like a fifth grade level.
Seventh
grade?
Yes. How old is a person in seventh grade?
11, 12.
Why is our newspaper written at a seventh grade reading level?
Because that's all the education we're giving our children.
No, no, no. Remember, it's been on the seventh grade reading level since it's an inception. At Sticks, don't... Answer the question. So, if we're literate, why are we reading on the seventh grade reading level for our newspaper?
And
it has not changed.
Lowest common denominator.
So, tell me, how many people were really thinkers and really literate when they went into the union?
Everything I keep reading.
That's what I'm talking about.
All this stuff I keep reading says that the literacy rate has been going down steadily in the United States.
It has been.
Since about 1900.
It has. On the rate of who they're counting. But let's look at this. Just think critically with me for a minute. Look at all the people who cannot read, and look at the average reading of a newspaper across the country is anywhere from a 7th to a 10th grade reading level. If you have such a literate populace, why are you making your major newspapers across the country? It's not for the kids to read.
I know where we're at. But what I'm saying is we were more literate before than we are now.
No, we were more intellectual.
Okay,
before.
Hey.
We're not more literate.
Hey, Stick, I found the table. The literacy rate in 1870 was 80%. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the total white population of that was 11.5, which meant that other folks was 8.5% of other folks. And that includes Native Americans and foreign-born individuals. And the literacy rate goes up all the way to 1979. However, in that same year, 1870, 79% of African Americans could not read or write. In about 1947, 1952, the rate is down to 10.2, and in 1979, it was 1.6%. It doesn't offer any statistic after that.
Just think about it this way. Right now, we still have people who have first generations who are graduating from college.
Well, my daughter.
Six. Was everybody in your family literate?
Absolutely.
To what extent?
To what extent? My grandfather could discuss the Constitution in depth. My family was all self-taught. Self-educated.
But most people...
Everybody in my family has always had big libraries in their houses.
Most people didn't have that. They didn't have books. Have you tried to buy a book lately?
Well, my grandpa bought a lot of used books.
I got to take a break.
Every time the library had the book sale.
No, no, no. Have you tried to buy a book lately? Have you seen the cost of books?
$20, $25, $30,
yeah.
$40.
Now, the books will have a whole bunch of information. I told y'all the other day, I found one the other day, and they wanted something like, you know, $200 and some for a book. I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Mm-hmm. Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A viral video has gotten a New Jersey basketball coach bounced out of a job.
As soon as ESPN aired the video of Mike Rice berating and shoving his players, criticism seemed to come from everywhere, from NBA star LeBron James to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. A day later, Rutgers terminated Rice, who spoke to ABC News.
I want to tell everybody who's believed in me that I'm deeply sorry for the pain and the hardship that I've caused him.
At first, Rutgers suspended Rice for that incident back in December. Now, the athletic director says giving the coach a chance to rehabilitate was wrong. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
President Obama in Colorado pushing for tougher gun laws.
Connecticut is on the verge of approving some of the strictest bans and background checks in the nation. So is Colorado. And President Obama is visiting both state capitals to argue the nation cannot forget the shootings in Newtown and Aurora.
Shame on us if we've forgotten.
He has recommended that schools which want them can hire armed guards. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Today, Connecticut lawmakers are expected to pass sweeping gun control laws, but not everyone's in favor of them.
If this law is enacted, it's not going to stop another Sandy Hook. It wouldn't have stopped the first one.
Robert Crook with the Coalition of Connecticut Sportsmen. A big recall involving two Korean automakers. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Hyundai and Kia are recalling close to 2 million vehicles to fix problems with airbags and brake lights. Switches. The recall involves 13 different models from 2007 through 2011. Safety regulators say a faulty switch can stop the brake light from working and the cruise control may not turn off when a driver steps on the brake. Some also have an issue with airbags that can injure passengers. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Dow and the NASDAQ both in negative territory. The Dow is off 70 points and the NASDAQ is down 26. This is ABC News.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.com.
A new report on jobs shows U.S. companies added fewer new ones last month than expected.
The payroll firm ADP says private employers added 158,000 jobs last month, less than in either February or January. Economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics reacts to the report.
A little bit shy of expectations. A lot of that was related to a big swing in construction employment, a very strong construction employment gains earlier in the year, zero in the month of March.
But Zandi says don't read too much into one month's numbers.
I think the job market, at least through the month of March, held up pretty well.
Richard Davies, ABC News.
Education officials in Norway say five schools in the western part of the country have rescheduled midterm exams. It's to allow students to attend Justin Bieber concerts in Oslo. Pop star scheduled to perform in the Norwegian capital April 16th and 17th, and that led to fears that students in remote schools would skip midterms so they too could go to the shows. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
The joint supplements of today are...
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Hate traffic? Don't hate. Drive happy. Get a Garmin Newbie with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid traffic and construction delays with upgrades delivered as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well,
good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at HouseLogic.com.
This is Father Andrew Grum of St. Michael's Orthodox Church inviting you to tune into my program, On Earth as in Heaven, every Saturday at noon here on AM 600 WSOM. Every Saturday I bring to you a powerful discussion of early Christianity, church history, ancient perspectives on Scripture, all from an Eastern Orthodox spirituality. This spirituality is historically documented as early Christian. So we will talk about many subjects of ancient wisdom. What is the church? How does the doctrine of the Holy Trinity influence your opinions on the truth? Why is St. Athanasius so much more important than Martin Luther? Tune in every Saturday at noon to listen for a half an hour of religious meanings to life that you may never have heard before, yet they have been known for 2,000 years. This is Father Andrew for On Earth as in Heaven, Saturdays at noon.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM. And today is April the 4th. I want to wish everyone a great day. It is cold here in Northeast Ohio. I see Alex has just chimed in to find out what we're talking about, and I do not want to know what the weather is in Florida.
Me
neither. Do you?
It's way too cold.
In South Carolina, I'm not asking him either, and he's on the phone with us, and I don't want to know. Hey, listen, I have not done Barbie Doll's ad yet, and because I'm a flake, but because I'm a flake, she gets a personal endorsement, and I love them down there. And listen, if you like antiques, if you like used furniture, if you're anywhere thrift, if you like doing some designer stuff, if you like antiquing, if you like junking, if you like resale shopping for furniture, for clothes, for jewelry, for collectibles, for knickknacks, go and see Barbie Doll over at Doll's Antiques and All. And it is on the corner of South Avenue and Western Reserve. And it's right next to Dunkin' Donuts. Get a cup of coffee. They got great, and that's a free, I shouldn't say that out loud, huh?
I don't know.
I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee, but they didn't pay for the ad.
Yeah, you know.
That's bad. And go get a cup of Dunkin' Donuts and go across the street. Maybe I got to get some money from them. Dunkin' Donuts and Subway.
Yeah.
And go over there and see Barbie. And if you want to give her a call, you can do that at 330-797-2301.
I'm going to have to take Paula over there. She's been after me for a new used bedroom suit.
Yeah, I've been looking for one too.
We don't do new furniture.
I'm not a new furniture girl. I am a used furniture person. And as soon as I can find a way, I want to start refinishing. I want to find somebody to refinish wood.
Well, our problem is we need a double, just a plain old double bed.
No, those are easy to find. I'm having a hard time finding a queen bed.
Because we can't
double bed, standard bed are easy.
We got to take a window out to get the mattress in the upstairs.
You guys got issues.
Well, I got that 200-year-old farmhouse when it was built. They was sleeping on feather ticks.
No, yeah, you got issues. You got issues. Hey, the number again is 347-945-5229. Sticks is in the studio with me. It is open mic.
You want to know why Johnny can't read?
Johnny can't. How long is Johnny can't read?
Six minutes and 29 seconds.
We'll do it when we come back from the break at the bottom
okay.
of the hour. Because because we're talking about education. We got there, and I am you. I know you think people are they were illiterate, but look at the steel mill. Look at how many men worked in the steel mill that couldn't read here in the Mahoning Valley.
See, I don't know how you could do your job and not be able to read.
It's not hard. Remember, they weren't reading. They were physically doing labor. I mean, it makes a difference. I mean,
you still got to be able to read the instruction manual.
There is no instruction manual. I've got a relative, and he is the best at what he did. And when I say he's the best, he can do anything. If you put,
I've got an uncle that can't read.
And when you say,
but he's a great mechanic.
That's what I'm saying. So how did he read? How did he do it? He can't. Listen, if you put a book in front of him and asked him if it didn't have pictures, you're hit. But I'm talking about brilliant. Right now, he is too old to do anything, and he's got more knowledge locked up in his head that he can't pour into any of us. And when he was doing it, we were too dumb to pay attention.
Right.
We could read, but we were dumb.
Right.
But yet he could fix. He could put a water heater in. He could go fix the boiler. He could go fix the plumbing. He could go fix the car. He could go fix the lawnmower. He could fix, you know, he could put the roof on together. He could put on siding. He could go in the garden and then go to work in the mill and have a blast doing it all.
Right.
He couldn't read at all. He could drive anywhere, knew where he was going. Didn't have to have a map. My issue is I can read and can't do any of that. He could refinish furniture. He could do, I mean, anything that we needed to have done around the house, all we had to do was call, say uncle, and show up.
There had to be, I mean, there had to be either he was around really good people and taught him hands-on, or he had to be able to read on a technical level.
No.
So you can read on a technical level and not be able to read on a contractual level.
You're missing the point, Sticks. No. See, Dick run down the street would not come out. But he could listen to a car and tell you exactly what's wrong.
Yeah, I've got an uncle like that.
That's what I'm saying. He could come in and say, oh, that's what's wrong with the water heater. He didn't have to read the manual to put the water heater together. That you have to understand, they had an intelligence that was not an aptitude of reading the American English.
My grandfather could take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and add a list of 3-digit numbers up from top to bottom, stand there and look at it and add it in his head.
Without a degree.
Without a degree. My grandparents did graduate high school. All four.
They had a knowledge base. South Carolina, your mic is on. Alex, your mic is on also. They had a knowledge base that we don't have. They spot. They had
right.
to. They didn't have money to go to the mechanic and get the tire fixed and put the pressure in and fix the car.
Well, not only that, Amy has told me, you know, she says, it's pretty bad. She says, I reach for my calculator sometimes to add 5 and 3 just because I'm used to reaching for a calculator.
What I'm talking about, you're talking about literacy. People were not literate to the point of actually getting it done. They were just literate in the point of they thought. Women could sew it, but couldn't read a pattern.
I got an answer for that for you, Tracy.
What's that?
But good afternoon, by the way, Sticks and Tracy.
Good afternoon,
Alex. Y'all might hear a few roosters crowing in the back because I'm in the country right now. me and my wife visiting some folks out here in the country, so you might hear some strange sounds. So.
Country of Florida.
Oh yeah,
don't sound strange to me.
There's a lot of beef farmers in Florida.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at a rooster. Actually, 3 roosters, 6 goats, a couple, 2 horses, some chickens. I mean, there's a lot of farmers out here in Florida, you know. Yeah, especially cows and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things. But, you know, but I have to say that people were more hands-on, you know, back then. And what I think people overvalue literacy and formal education so much, because I could tell you that, like, you go back to, say, thousands of years ago, like, where you had a civilization like ancient Egyptians, for instance. In those societies, or the Sumerians or whatever, like, less than 5 or 10% of the people were actually literate. Back then, the only purpose of literacy originally, reading and writing, was to make recordings of things due to the volatility of war and things where things were destroyed. So you would write things down to pass on information. But you know, people did more things back then, and so you had a different kind of intelligence we tend to value an abstract intelligence now, where you see it on paper and you analyze things that way. But really, you know, it's like you were saying, Tracy, like back then, you know, people, you know, when you do things with your hands and you figure things out, it's a type of intelligence that we tend to we undervalue, you know, the of actually being able to work through problems like you know, physically rather than, you know, on a piece of paper or something.
And as a matter of fact, I'm actually, you know, I Alex's grandfather.
Yeah.
We can't get anything done anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, seriously, it's really bad. Alex's grandfather was brilliant.
Well, so, yeah. And most of those old guys were.
But what I'm saying is, so when we were talking about the Constitution, when you put a contract in front of it, and the Constitution is a contract, the comprehension of the Constitution was not, you know, they weren't forecasting. They weren't projecting. They weren't doing any of that. People were telling, the unions came in and said, do this, and they did that. And so they really could, they didn't, the rationale behind it. Today, we're just pathetic. Today's society, we're just messed up.
Yeah, we don't know how to do anything anymore. I could tell you that with, it's funny, like, what people actually value, because, you know, I've been an engineer over 10 years, and there's a lot of things from, like, from school, like from college, that, you know, I look at it now and I couldn't do it. I mean, well, I could do it if I sat down long enough to do it, but I can't do that stuff anymore on paper, you know. But
and you wonder why they had you do it.
Yeah, but I know how to solve real problems, though, like when it comes to real, you know, to the engineering problems that, you know, that we deal with every day, where there's, you know, I can make you a missile. I can make a generator for electricity. But, you know, now if you want me to derive all this stuff on paper, I don't remember how to do any of that stuff. But, you know, I'm very clever when it comes to the practical applications, though. You know, so it's because that's what I've been doing for so long now that I don't even remember what half of those equations even mean. You know.
Well, yeah. When my daughter was going to engineering school, a lot of the times the professors would say, "Now you have to learn this to get through school." But that's the modern way of saying it. There's an app for that.
But my question is, we are right now, we are conditioning a society to not think about anything, to not be able to do anything, and not having the knowledge base to get anything done. And they're doing very well at not getting it done. Hey, 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, how you doing? This
good,
is
how
Bill.
Are you? Hey, Bill.
Good. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 63 years old. I got a college education, but you know what? The one thing, if you can read, you can do anything. My best friend is that. Is the search engine. When I get on the computer, if I want to learn how to put in a countertop or anything, I go to that, I can find out. Long as you can read, you got it.
But right now, we're not teaching our young people how to read. They said 80% of graduates out of public school in New York can't read. So how can you actually understand and comprehend when you go to vote if you can't read what it is? Because remember, reading is more than just knowing see Dick run.
Right.
You've got to know what Dick is doing when you read about Dick running. And the problem is our young people are not learning comprehension. So when they read the ballot language, they have no idea what they voted for.
You know, Tracy, I have a master's degree, and I can tell you all of the amendments and stuff that was on the Florida ballot last election in November, I couldn't understand half of that stuff. That's half of the language that was there. And I have a master's degree. So I was
I had a lawyer friend of mine tell me one time that's the problem with the Constitution is it wasn't written by lawyers.
But do you understand whether you get past the Constitution or not? If right now I go to vote, yet I don't know what I voted on, so I just vote, and people ignorantly get things done, like putting for private business in the Ohio Constitution?
Well, tying the minimum wage to the consumer price index.
People don't even know what consumer price index means. All they knew was if I go and vote, I'll get a raise. Not realizing that now you're going to pay $10 for a lollipop. Hold on, 216, your mic is on.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. I just wanted to say I'm one of the smartest people I know. However, I'm so dumb. Yeah, I'm glad you caught that. Thank you. However, I'm so dumb. If the world ended today and I was the last person alive, you know, I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how electricity works. I don't know how to change oil in a car. I am so dumb with hands-on things. I think a lot of people are, I think, and I think we should really need to change that. I wish I knew how things worked and how to build things and how to do things. I understand I can look it up on the Internet, but what if there is no Internet, you know?
Even if even looking it up on the Internet, you got to have an aptitude.
You need hands-on training.
When the toilet don't work at 2 a.m., people don't care what it costs, get it fixed.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I have no idea how plumbing works. I have no concept of how a car runs. How do we put gas in a car and I turn the key and it goes? I have no idea how that happens. It's unbelievable. But anyway, hey, I want to know if I can ruffle some feathers. Can I go back a conversation?
Go,
I want to cause a little trouble here.
Go back and shoot yourself in the foot. Go ahead.
Let me cause some trouble. That's what I'm good at. Let's go back to the Jesus picture in the school.
Go ahead.
And everyone's up in arms. Oh, you can't. What if it was a picture of Muhammad? Would you still be attending it? What if it was a picture of Buddha? Would you still be all up in arms if they wanted to take that down?
If there is a picture of Buddha inside the public school that has been sitting there since 1942, and I would have no problem with it.
Are you all right singing Ramadan songs during Ramadan season?
You missed my point.
I got you.
If you've been singing the Ramadan, whatever. In Dearborn, Michigan,
right,
they changed the football schedule for Ramadan. They've been changing the football schedule in Dearborn, Michigan for years. If I move to Dearborn, Michigan, then I know that school is going to be there's going to be a lot of Islamic students there that are going to go through the day and have to have prayer all day long. Hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying. So if they choose to, if I know that and it's been doing that for the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and I've been going to that and doing it, that's fine. See, the problem that I have is, this has been hanging there for all those years. The Ten Commandments has been etched in marble since the inception of the building, and now you want me to go and take it and scratch it out.
Hey, Tracy,
that doesn't make sense.
What you're saying is, well, since it's been this way, then just let's leave it be. Didn't people say the same thing about segregation?
But let me say it this way, since you brought segregation into the point. When I look back in retrospect, if I had realized that segregation was going to do what segregation did to a community that it did it in, they should have stayed across the tracks and had their own life.
Let me bring this up to you, Tracy. What about, this is going back a couple months, what about that statue of that Ku Klux Klan guy that was in, I don't forget, South Carolina? That's been up there forever. But you want that down.
Okay. And I had her on when they want to bring it down because they don't want to tell both sides of the story. But right now, Wilson Middle School is still sitting around the corner where I live. And they still won't change the name of Wilson High School, even though he was a racist, even though he's the one who made sure that the federal government was segregated again.
On the thing in South Carolina with the Confederate flag, there was a compromise made, okay? They took the flag down. Both sides agreed that the flag was going to place of prominence on the state house grounds. However, when they put it in the place of prominence, one side came back and said that's not good enough. They want it completely off the state house grounds. The other side said, we compromised, we made a deal, that's it, we're not doing anything else. So now they protest and they don't want us back. They don't want to come back in the state of South Carolina. But the flag is no longer on the top of the Capitol Dome. It's on the ground somewhere.
See, my problem is we don't want to be honest. You know, all of it is history. And the problem with America is we are disingenuous when we tell the history of America because we don't want to tell the bad with the good. It's like our kids. We tell our kids the good stuff, but we don't tell them the bad stuff that we did. And it's the same thing with America. And America needs to start being honest with the people. And we're not being honest.
Let me ask you this.
Yes?
I'm not sure I believe. I just want to throw this out there just for thought, food for thought. What if, we'll just talk about race relations right now first. What if we did ignore our history? What if we stopped bringing it up? Maybe, would things be better maybe? If
no.
we stopped talking about
yeah,
it and
if,
we just
you know,
moved
if,
forward from here, maybe bringing it up is bringing it up where with, you know, children today, they don't need, you know, they're not interested. And what if they didn't know about it?
Guess what?
We think we'd repeat ourselves? Or,
no,
I don't
no.
know.
Now, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what I believe. If you quit pulling me over while I'm black, driving through some of the suburban areas, and you treat all men as men and quit treating me as though I'm inferior, and you quit looking at me and me and I, you treat me as a person, just like you are, then I don't have a problem with it. The problem is all people won't do that. And if I don't teach my young man, who I'm raising, to be careful still, he can come home dead.
See, but maybe if we ignored it, if we all ignored it, maybe that would stop happening.
It's not going to happen.
It wouldn't be on everybody's mind. No, people, you know, the races wouldn't be at each other's throat. You know,
here,
if you,
let me
we
say
just
it this
ignored
way.
It.
I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 in December. I just got appointed to a board here, and racism struck its ear when I got appointed. That was in 2013 in February.
I understand, but that's because we talk about it all the time.
No. This is a woman that I've known for the last 5 or 10 years, and she's really never said anything until that day. You got to understand, I came back from California and didn't realize I was black, and they made sure they let me know, you're colored.
Well,
don't think you're equal with me because you're not.
Just Saturday, when I went to the parts store with Jeff, the guy behind the counter made a remark, and it appalled me. About his car.
Can I ask you what the remark was?
About Jeff's car?
Jeff drives a Fifth Avenue Ultra or something like that, and it was a stereotypical remark about a black man and that type of car.
You can say it out loud.
Because
right. I'd like to hear it. You can say it out loud.
He said, you got a real Mac Daddy ride there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I Jeff just kind of rolled over it, but it offended me.
Well, because he's probably used to hearing it. We hear stuff like that all the time.
You guys got to understand, if we're going to cohabitate with white America, we really can't blow up every time white America says something real stupid, because if we do, we'll all be in jail.
Well, but I guess...
Right. White America needs to stop saying that, I guess is what I'm saying. If everybody stopped
100%
talking about race and bad
comments.
It would take years. I'm not saying it would happen overnight, but it would, you know, the next generation would maybe have no problems.
But how many people would have to suffer?
We just need to treat our neighbor like we'd like to be treated ourselves is all we need to do.
But you missed what he said. He said how many people would suffer. Do you know what would happen?
How would people suffer? I don't understand that.
Because you don't understand that.
I just treat...
Alex, go ahead.
Let me give you an example of how deeply entrenched racism is in this country. All right. Now, you have... statistically, this has been shown by various third party organizations, independent organizations, that drugs are used, sold, distributed equally, you know, amongst everybody. But primarily, what low income and black people use is marijuana. You know, that's the drug of choice. But all the other stuff, that's suburban stuff. All that meth and whatever else, you know, I don't even know what that stuff is. When I hear about it, I'm like, what?
And it's like, oh, yeah, it's the stuff. I don't even know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. Everybody does it. But the thing about it is 80% of all drug enforcement is done in low-income black communities, which is why over 70% of all black men that are incarcerated are in for nonviolent drug-related charges. Now, you and then they're hit with a felony. You don't understand how that impacts a community. Over a million black men, just under a million black men were incarcerated just during Bill Clinton's 8 years in office during the war on drugs. So what do you think how do you think that impacts a black community like the next decade later when these men should have been, prominent men in the black community? And so we're seeing the effect of that now. And so you have all this institutionalized racism that just disproportionately and egregiously impacts us. And you say, well, let's just stop talking about it. Okay, we stop talking about it, but we continue to suffer because of the ingrained institutional racism. And that's just one example. I could give you probably a dozen, but we don't have the time.
Let me say this. And if a young man is 19 years old and he commits a felony, say he is selling marijuana. He shouldn't have been selling it. He goes to jail. He does his time. He comes back out. He goes to college, he gets a degree,
and he can't get a job because he's got a felony.
And because he's black. Because blacks don't get forgiven for felonies.
But
usually they can't even drive a truck.
Usually they're not even selling, though. It's usually just possession. Most of the time they're going to prison just for possession. They're not even selling anything. I mean, let's think about it. Black people are in the lowest economic class in this country. They do not even have the resources to traffic these drugs in and out of the country, but yet we're targeted for the sell of it. It is ridiculous. We don't even have the means to do what we're being incriminated to do. We don't have the means or the resources to do what we're being incriminated for. But that doesn't matter because there's so much economics that's built on top of this prison industrial complex. You have the school system and the prison industry, and they're even starting to make products now out of the prisons.
Slavery.
Yeah, it's insane. And we're just, we can just stop talking about it. And, we'll be right back in 1850. That's exactly where we'll be if we just stop talking about it.
And caller, when you say that, I agree. I understand where you're coming from. But even in my world, and I am in a black and white world often, I have to always remember to be on my guard. Because if I don't, I can be killed by people who are racist, both Democrat and Republican. And I have to stay silent because I can't always jump up and scream. But it doesn't mean that it's not there and it won't go away. They just think they got away with it, and they didn't.
That's a very valid point. Yeah, I mean, Alex, your example was excellent. So there would be a lot of suffering in the beginning. But maybe long term it might work. But I understand it's not feasible. I see it's not feasible.
The problem is those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. And I think, I think that we need to bring out the bad and the good.
We should have never let President Obama get in there and him not be a black American.
Wait a minute, Tracy.
What do you mean by that?
You a birther?
what I'm saying is, President Obama went in there without any lineage to slavery in America.
Well, I know what you're saying. Now I understand where you're going.
He came in there without any lineage to slavery. And so the racism that he has felt has been superficial, but not from where your parents teach you as a black man to be careful when you see a white person. He never got that conversation from his white mother.
Especially being from Hawaii, because Hawaii is way more.
But doesn't matter. You, when you come from an interracial family, your white mom very seldom has a conversation with you about being a black man because she has no clue.
He never experienced it. He never saw it because
right.
if he would have had a black father and saw what a black man has to deal with, he would have a completely different perception. Hell, if he even had a black mother who had to see her struggle, you know, growing up, he would have a completely different perspective about the African American experience.
See, but you know, a black man that goes into office and does nothing from the community from which he said he came from, that's not real. Everybody takes care of their own community in which they come from when they hit the White House.
Yep.
Except for Obama.
He's taking care of the community he came from.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
What?
Yeah, he is.
Academia, the academic elite. That's the community he came from.
But 98% of them didn't vote for him in mass.
Yes, they did.
Not like they did in the black community. They stood in line. They stood in line twice, to make sure it happened. Did not see a line of white people from academia standing in line to vote for the man. You saw black people who said, we're going to have somebody in the White House who's going to take care of us. And guess what? He has now given y'all no Vaseline. Hold on. Go ahead, Alabama.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, darling.
Not much. I really was just listening, but I guess I have to co-sign what Alex just said with the prison complex and stuff. And, I mean, even with the Afghan war, you know, they say, what is it, 80% of the cocaine or some 70%, some real astronomical percentage comes out of Afghanistan. And they haven't shut it down. So that's weird. In fact, there are military people. And, you know, I know Alex Jones crazy, but there are people that call his show and say, hey, I help load pallets of cocaine up on a big B-52 plane to fly out, going to America.
You're probably talking about opium.
So it's just weird, you know, when I hear all that, but then you turn around and catch a little teenager with a joint in his ashtray, and he, you know, his whole life is messed up. But I think what you said, Tracy, was it's both Democrat and Republican. We've been trained to think it's just Republicans. So that's the problem. I think that's part of it. I think if we kind of step away and just look at it as for all of it and call both sides out instead of one, then I think we can kind of start.
Yeah.
You will do better. I ain't going to say it'll fix everything because it won't, but it'll at least make us say, okay, well, we know this guy's not my friend just because he's black and he's from my community.
A lot of those guys get bought out. We need to hold them all accountable.
You see, the problem with African Americans, you got to convince us that we're free enough to hold you accountable.
How about legalizing drugs? That would help a little bit.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, you need to at least
marijuana.
As a libertarian, I think any law that is used to try to dictate people's personal habits, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, is flawed. It's fundamentally flawed.
My only problem with making marijuana legal for anyone over the age of 18 or 21 is how do you test for driving under the influence with marijuana?
You shouldn't. You shouldn't be. Say, even like my opinion is DUI. Is really, I think it's unconstitutional. You have no right to test people's, you know, biological fluids or whatever. You know, the thing is that there's already enough laws on the books. Just enforce the laws. You know, there's already laws against careless driving and reckless driving. Just look for that. But now we've just created predatory cops that just go around and, oh, now we got to, here, you got to take this breathalyzer. And even if somebody wasn't doing anything wrong, someone may have, you know, someone, because it's happened to me. It's happened to me several times. They didn't give me a ticket or anything. They just pulled me over and had to go through all this mess because they had a quota. They had a quota for how many DUIs they had to fulfill. And then they didn't find anything in the DUI, so they made me pee in a cup. And the urinalysis came back clean. And so they had to throw the DUI charge out But and I can get any ticket or anything. And that's what happens. You just create predatory cops because now they have a quota to fill. And so, and you know, but if I had smoked the joint within the last 30 days, that would have showed up, and I would have had a DUI on my record. And
now,
no,
you should have lost your job.
Because I'm an independent contractor.
Well,
so
even
I don't
so,
get,
but if you're working, you lose your job.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't agree with it at all. And there's already laws on the books against careless driving and reckless driving. If a cop sees somebody driving recklessly or carelessly, then pull them over. But you don't.
You're right. What
created is a predatory. We just created predatory cops with this. Now they want to do laws. Well, now you can't text and drive. Now you're going to have cops looking for people with cell phones, you know, in their car. The next thing is going to be, well, hell. Texting and driving isn't nearly as dangerous as parents with kids in the backseat. You ever seen them drive? And
I got that right arm swinging as you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean,
you can't drag it. Hold on, Stick. 724, I think that's you, Larry. How you doing, honey?
How you doing, Trace?
Hey, how you doing, darling?
I've just been listening, enjoying it. I'm on the turnpike, and I've listened. The DUI thing, that's a moneymaker for them. That's why they have a quota, per se, to fill, is because there's a lot of money that you get popped for DUI, not just lawyer, your increase there, but they get money for every one of those. So it's a moneymaker for them.
We got an insurance company right here in Ohio made all our money on SR-22 insurance from fleeing looters and drunk drivers.
I got a friend that got pulled over. He had an accident, wrecked his own car, got a DUI. He's been going to class for he's not working. He's been struggling, borrowing $200. He's been paying $200 a month for some. Basically, he's almost paid out a couple of, maybe $3,000 or $4,000. I mean, it's been almost 2 years now. Going on 2 years, and because he hadn't been able to pay it off, they keep charging him to be on some system. So he's paying $150 a month just to. It's crazy. I paid some tickets. I just paid some basic tickets off, and because I had been on the payment plan, but because it took too long, they charged me another $2,000. That's Montgomery, Alabama.
Here's the thing. If you get a DUI, you blow in the breathalyzer, and you peg the number that states that you're drunk and you got a DUI, then all the consequences that come along with it, accept them, have a Coke smile, sit down, shut up, and be happy. That's all. Plain and simple.
I got a problem.
You got to understand. They got a point there. This is, I mean, whether we like it or not, some things they're money makers. And I'm not saying you should condone drinking and driving. That's not what I'm saying. But there are a lot of things that go on that make more money, and that's why they have them there.
Well, see, I've got a problem with fines, period.
You got a problem with paying money out, right?
No. Either do it. I think it's Sweden. All the fine structure is based on your income. Some guy just got a speeding ticket over there. It was like $100 million or something because of what he earned. Because it's based on a percentage of your annual income, their fine structure. Because if an attorney gets pulled over for a DUI and it costs him $10,000, it's not going to hurt him near as much as the steel worker that gets pulled over for a DUI and charges $10,000. The fine structure needs to be based on income, or we need to completely do away with the fine structure. And everybody needs to do time.
But you have to understand, this is all about making money. They don't care about whether you can pay it or not.
The police say it's about public safety. Now, don't burst my
bubble.
That's
what they say, but it's about money. Hey, Tracy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said something. You were talking earlier about, the prison population and different stuff. But a lot of it, Tracy, it all, I mean, I tied everything. I tied all to education. You know what I mean?
But as we talked about earlier, we don't want you to read. We don't want you to know stuff, and never have.
Yeah, because if back in the day in slavery, if you want to go all the way back, you could be, if you was caught or found teaching a slave to read.
Everybody was dying.
Yeah, somebody was dying, that slave, or you were going to jail or getting flogged, one or the other. But it all goes back to education, because if you were educated and understood, that's why they've dumbed down all the schooling that we do have, especially in the public schools, because the less educated we are, if everybody was educated and understood what Obamacare is really doing, or what this, I'm just going to tax the rich guy and it's going to be out there, they wouldn't buy that crap. You know what I mean? And half this stuff wouldn't get done, like you going in and voting straight Democratic ticket because the Democrats were the ones. I tell you what, Dr. Carson called out all them Democrats the other day on Levin's show when he said they're the most racist of all is the liberal Democrats, because they want to keep him in that box. And now that he's out that box and tell him the truth, he's all of a sudden the Uncle Tom or you know, because he's not towing that party line. They can't get that guy because he said, I base all my stuff on the Bible, and I tell the truth, so I'm not worried about slipping up and they're going to get me on something, because all I'm doing is telling the truth. But, you know, a lot of people out there will look at Dr. Carson just like, who was it back, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby said a long time ago about the marriage in the black community and the way it was doing, and he was pillared.
Listen, I talked to a young man the other day, and I'm going to take a break in a few minutes. I'm going to do the top of the hour, and then I'm going to let stick through a Johnny Can't Read. But I got a young man told me he had 16 kids. Met another young man. He told me he had 10. Now you got to understand, these guys are not 16 kids working in a mill, coming home every night to his wife. He's not by the. I mean, and all the women aren't. And he's not Mormon, so they're all not living in the same house. Are you following? How? And so he's got these kids spread out, and it's become. It's like a business. It's you know. How many kids can I get? And he was proud to tell me about his 16 kids and his 9 grandkids. And my question is, well, when did you take care of them? And taking care of them is more than sending a check. Taking care of them is going to the ball games. And we have lost that fabric, and we're losing it not only in the black community, because we were nothing but a study for the rest of the country. Anytime, and I got to go back to, did you see the picture of, what's his name? P. Diddy and somebody sucking lips.
I did.
Yeah, P. Diddy and Rick Ross, I think it was. That rapper Rick Ross and P. Diddy.
Are y'all following this? Does that make sense? I can't find a man, and I got 2 men sucking lips. And what? Explain. Education is going down the crapper, and all little kids need is a daddy.
I told you the answer is Pentecostal mafia.
And they got nothing but uncles. And uncles don't stay long.
When a young man gets a girl in trouble, she needs to get a visit from the deacons in the church.
What church? The church ain't standing up and saying nothing's wrong anyhow. All they doing is collecting a check. I said it out loud. Yeah, I did. It's the truth.
Who's sending them the check? When you talk about the offering.
That's what I'm saying. What do you think the check is?
Well, I don't know.
They got checks on the politics, and they got checks on the offering. They ain't got what they doing. They living large.
The church I go to, the preacher don't touch the money.
He ain't got to touch it as long as you get a paycheck. He get a paycheck?
From the church.
That's what I'm saying. Still get a paycheck.
He's on a salary.
I don't care. He getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
Right.
Far less than what you're making.
No, it ain't. Trust me when I'm saying no, it ain't.
I know what my preacher makes. My preacher ain't getting rich by any means.
It's not about getting rich. You have to understand, it's occupational now. It's occupational. And I'm not talking about everybody. If the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. But education, everything is tied to this. And we are sitting back in America being stupid.
Well, yeah, we are. I mean.
Tracy.
Yeah.
I got something I found that Johnson stated. It's just like a couple of sentences, and I wanted to kind of read it to you. And it really, I never found anything like this spoken by a Democrat. But it's real interesting what he said, because it's basically breaking down everything
we sit on this show and talk about, like, about the complaints, the problems we have, and their mentality back then when we didn't have these problems in the early 60s in the black community. But every implement that we talk about, it basically been, it's worked very, very well. And it was basically said, these Negroes, they're uppity, they're pretty uppity these days, and that's the problem for us since they got something now they've never had before, a political pull to back their uppityness. Now we've got to do a little something about this. We've got to give them a little something, just enough to quiet them down, but not enough to make a difference. For if we don't move at all, then their allies will line up against them, and there will be no way of stopping them. We'll lose the filibuster, and we'll be back putting the days women. And there'll be no way of putting the brakes on all sorts of wild legislation. It'll be Reconstruction all over again. And, you know, if you look up Reconstruction, that's when we had all the civil rights, the first, the real Civil Rights Act, all that stuff.
Right. Okay.
So these are the people we voted for.
Who wrote it?
That's LBJ. LBJ said that.
I was going to say, that sounds like LBJ.
And so now LBJ said, if I make these people...
Yeah.
He said, if I give them immigration, if I sign this law, we'll control these colored folks. And
yep.
He said the N-word for the next 100 years.
Yep.
And the Democrat Party was about to start losing control, and Obama stepped up to the plate and put y'all right back in line. Hello, Big Daddy.
I think black people are getting tired of Obama, though. I mean, people suffering so bad. I don't think they really tell us the truth. I talk to a lot of people. I know this is just anecdotally, but I talk to a lot, especially black men. Now, women, they up on some Barack and Michelle photos on, you know, they just get caught up into the hoopla. But a lot of black men, when I talk to them, I travel all over the different places when I'm working, Atlanta. Man, folks ain't just in love with Barack like how you might think.
But they won't vote.
But they voted for him.
Yeah.
And it's too late now. See, we try to tell them that between 2011 in 2012, we have been saying, don't do it. Just say no. And they told them that they was going to put them back in chains if they put that Republican in. That's what they said. Am I right?
You know what, Tracy? Me and Amy, we visited some of her family in Mississippi. And one of her male cousins told me, we had a political discussion. He agreed with everything I was saying. You know, he's a Democrat, whatever. But he was like, I agree with you, but there's no way I'm going to tell my children that I didn't vote for the first black president. And so he's I'm voting for him anyway.
Do you understand that? That's what I'm saying. I've heard the same thing. I've heard that. I've heard that from some of the most knowledgeable men and women across this country that I'm friends with. They say, Tracy, listen, I don't care what you say. I don't care how right you are. I'm going to vote for this president.
Well, I mean, you got people like Steve Harvey that's paid by the White House to keep us in line. He makes comments like, well, he doesn't have to be our president. I mean, it's like, you know, he doesn't have to do anything for the African-American community. He can do stuff for the gay community and the Hispanics and all these different people. But when it comes to black folks, just being there is enough. And that should be – for 8 years, we out here suffering – 40%, I think I saw something on Drudge Report saying we got 50 year, the worst poverty since 21 in every five of everybody's living.
Since 1960.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying that's a long, and people, black folks were suffering. If it's like that for the country, please believe ours is double. So that's what I'm saying.
Right. And that's the truth. I mean, it says United States sees highest poverty level spike since the 1960s, leaving 50 million Americans poor as government cuts billions in spending. So does that mean that there's no way out?
Well, they're not cutting anything. That's a lie.
No, some things are being cut. They're being reallocated. You got to understand, President Obama, they're playing, it's a shell game.
Right.
It's like they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. It may not be
cut
not be cut in his travel expense, but if he's traveling and if Biden is spending a half $1 million a day.
No, a million a day.
No, half $1 million a day on Valentine's Day to go to Europe to stay in a hotel. That money's coming from somewhere.
Right.
So what line item did it come from to increase their travel budget?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they use this budget thing to inflict the most pain on the most people.
And so what I'm saying
and it's disingenuous, and they both do it. They all do it.
But that's not the point. The question is, where did the money come from? If you don't have more money to spend, I'm going to pay you, but I'm going to take it out of another line item.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're taking the line item out of a lot of things that people design. But small people are not hiring, and people are not paying in the grocery store. I paid $4 for some apples.
There's no inflation, Tracy. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I'm taking a break from the mic. Hold on, guys. The mics are on. You guys go ahead and chat. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and...
Yeah, there's no inflation.
I mean, but you could take $50 billion. You could take $50 billion and fix a lot of different issues. You know, they've been spending that kind of stuff on vacation, shopping. You know, Michelle, just like most black women, you know, love to look good, shop. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it bothers me when you could take $1 million and change people's lives and they'll blow that on nothing. I hate to make it that simplistic, but they try to give money. They give money to people that are going to take it and split it and put 70% in their pockets, trickle through, and by the time they get to you, it's a fifth of what they, one-tenth of what they actually sent out. So, you know, you could take $1 billion and do a lot just in the state of Alabama for poor people. You could. Just $1 billion. That's nothing. But nobody's ever thought of that. No, like, come on, man. People got sense. They know what they're doing. That's why I'm kind of getting away from this whole Democrat-Republican paradigm way of looking. I have to because I'm sitting out like, man, this is just anybody with a brain sees this country is just got a bad budget system and it needs to be fixed. Nobody talking about it. None of the Republicans. They'll say it and they get in there and nobody's really taking. You have to really make some cuts and do some stuff. And honestly, I don't even think we spend what we really say we spend. You know, I think they'll apportion $100 million or something and take $70 million, put it in their pocket, and spend $30. I think that's really what happened. I think we don't really know what's going on. I don't see it.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the basic things I got to take a call. Sorry about this. I'm at the group over.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll pick up. As far as what happens if you give $100 or $1 billion to the state of Alabama, it goes to the bureaucracy, and $100 billion doesn't get to where it's supposed to be, or it's the ones that are connected. For instance, earlier one of the callers was talking about how I think it was Sticks that said Obama take care of academia. I mean, you just saw yesterday he wants $100 billion. To go, or yeah, $100 million to go to map the human brain. Well, you know, if all of our colleges and universities, and they're sitting on billions of dollars, you go look at the funds that these guys are sitting on. Why can't they do that themselves? Because if they can do it, then they can, you know, make money on it. But no, they want the taxpayers to fund that. It just And you're right. I think what you said, Democrats and Republicans both are like, but we keep sending back the same damn people year after year after year.
I honestly don't think it's a we, though. I think it, and I hate to sound conspiracy, whatever, that's the thing I think they got us trained is that, you know, you go listen to a guy like Alex Jones, then you go use Google and look this stuff up. It's true. And then you don't see nobody saying nothing. Then it makes you wonder about the guys, the allies, putting, you know, Ron Paul won. I think he won. Was that first primary? I think they cheated. I mean, it's, these people don't have no kill. And I honestly believe, and this is just I know y'all going to call me. See, they got names for people. You a truther or a birther. You a – man, look, it's just certain things about 9/11. I want to start that back up that I have questions about. That I see, wait a minute now, this doesn't make sense. You know, and I just have a problem with it. And then Bush and Cheney, they don't even come on TV and talk. They talk behind closed doors and it's non-binding. They really don't have to. I'm like, well, what's the use in doing it? You know, stuff like that. I'm like, it just makes me wonder sometimes, you know, when we I can't go out here and champion a guy that started the done drone program 7 years ago. But everybody's talking about Obama. I disagree with Obama on just about everything he do. But at the same time, the drone program started 7 years ago. But you don't hear Fox News saying anything about that. All they want to do is scream it because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
the
problem is if you do, and believe me, I was as a GOP, I wrote letters. A couple of them was published all over the country on some of the stuff that Bush did. But it's like you can't question Obama, or you get everybody, CNN, MSNBC, they all jump on it. The only one out there, and it's crazy because Obama won with 53% of the vote, but the more people watch Fox News. So what Jeff has said earlier about a lot of conservatives sitting out and just not voting, well, I mean, I look at that. I understand where Jeff's coming from. They weren't going to vote for a Mormon, but if you don't like Mormonism, you definitely ain't going to like Obama. So it's the lesser of two evils as far as I'm concerned, but they just couldn't come to that type of deal. And it's the same thing that happened in Ohio. They didn't like the wine.
That's what they tell you. That's what they allow you to think. There's no way 200,000 people voted for Barack Obama in the city of Cleveland. There's just no way. The whole city, the whole county, one of those counties, every vote was for Obama. That's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah. That was Tioga County.
Believe it or not,
you were right. That was the margin of victory in Ohio was a little over 100,000. And had it just been a regular vote up in Cleveland, you're right there. Some of it, but we had poll watchers out. I was one of them. I wasn't in Cleveland, but I know they came out in force.
Look, and if I was, that's letting you know Mitt Romney was complicit because I would have showed up in the city of Cleveland like, look, if you voted for me, meet me at this place here. There's no way the whole city votes. He would at least got 10,000 folks to show up. Come on, man.
Well, here's you know how they're combating that here in South Carolina. We've got the voter ID bill. It's in full effect. We're using it now, and it's going to stop a whole lot of that nonsense, big time.
But South Carolina, what if they cheat? What if they just lie and say somebody? That don't mean somebody can't just say, okay, so and so won South Carolina. Who's gonna stop one person from reporting that South Carolina went to this person or that person? Nobody.
That's not gonna stop them from reporting it. But the thing about it is, you can project an election for anybody. They could have projected the election for Mickey Mouse, but that doesn't mean that the numbers are gonna be there for him. It's got to be certified first.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure somebody certified Cleveland.
Let's say.
Well, the thing about it is when they certify it,
100%. What did that get you? Because you go drive. I just came from Cleveland. I'm on the road now. I was up there. Ain't shit happening in Cleveland. Ain't no Obama money coming out there. The city of Detroit. That councilwoman said. We helped elect him. Now we want some money, and Detroit just got put in receivership. So we vote 100% for a guy that don't care. I think somebody said it earlier. They took care of the homosexuals. They took care of the Hispanics. They don't care because they know that we bought in. And again, the education that I keep circling back to, because if we was educated, we would understand that they don't care about us. And then we would start making them fight for our votes.
But let's be honest, if you're really trying to help a people, you start talking about business ownership, manufacturing, things like you start really empowering people, putting people in a place of ownership, having their dollars stay within their own community. That's what people, Republicans, if they want to really reach out to minorities, need to really they know that. I've talked to people, white, Alabama, my brother's on over the GOP in our city. Trust me, man, it's not that easy. Like, some of these people don't care.
Alabama, tell me, throughout these two campaigns that Obama has, how much did he talk about black, minority, business ownership and promoting that in his campaigns? He's always talked about getting jobs for people, but he's never talked about people becoming entrepreneurs for themselves. That's not a part of his agenda because if you're coming out to
the neither the Republican either, though. The Republicans aren't either. And that's supposed to be their whole thing. Their whole spiel is supposed to be pro-business. But it's so easy. to talk to a guy and say, look, where would you rather be? Working for Joe Bob out there, who you may think is racist, or owning your own business? Everybody's going to say that. Not everybody, but would you rather at least work for somebody that looks like you? Everybody, it's clear.
Here's the thing. I don't care if they look like me or my boss looks
well,
like
you,
a.
Well, you look. When I say work for. Go ahead.
I mean, the bottom line for me is I'm going to be working for somebody, and essentially, if you own your own business, you are working for somebody. You're working for your customers. You're working for the people who come in and patronize your business.
I mean, I've heard that 1,000 times, but we all know there's a whole lot more freedom for a person that has his own business. I've ran my own business for years, and trust me, out of my adult life, I may have worked maybe 7 years altogether. But for the most part, I could put up shop and catch out and leave and go out the country for 3 weeks at a time. No, I didn't have to answer to nobody. I didn't have to schedule it. So there's a difference. And when I say work for someone that looks like you, I'm just saying if you work for Walmart, there would be a different take on Walmart if the Walton family was black. There would be a different take on UPS or these big mega corporations if it was a black-owned business. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Yeah, you don't care at the end of the day. You want somebody that's going to have you a nice, safe, friendly, warm work environment. You don't care what color they are. But if you had a choice, if I had a choice, I'd rather work for a black-owned business. I would. That's successful in doing and operating properly.
Here lately, I've been reading in the paper, I've been listening on the radio, and I've been watching on television, and everybody is saying at one time or another, why can't Johnny read? Yeah, that's the topic of America right now. And I got to thinking about this, and the other day I read about a bunch of PhD learned folks what met for about 3 days at a seminar. And at the end of the seminar, they commenced to telling people why Johnny can't read. And I got sick at some of the reasons they gave. Ladies and gentlemen, the main reason Johnny can't read is Johnny don't give a care whether he can read or not. Now, I ain't talking about them folks that's handicapped or got bad eyes. I'm talking about folks that are able-bodied, but yet the society we live in today tells them how underprivileged they are and how awful it is that they wasn't born into affluency. Listen, boys and girls, listen to Jerry Clower when I tell you this is the United States of America, and if you want to do it, and you got that bulldog hang on for everishness, in this country, you can be a winner. Why, the other day, one of them learned fellers said the reason Johnny can't read no better than he can is due to the energy crisis. But Johnny didn't get to go to school enough. Woo! Another reason Johnny can't read, folks, is Johnny's mama and daddy don't give a care whether he can read or not. They ain't interested in him. They find out he can't read, then they go to blaming the teacher of the school. I know some of them people. I've talked to them about it. And I'd say, listen here. I'd ask them. I'd say, look, what's your little boy's teacher's name? He said, we don't know. We never have met her. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, don't it? They get to finding out he can't read, then they get to looking for a patch test. And they want to blame it on somebody else when they ought to be more concerned about their own child. And folks who are guardians of children, parents or guardians, need to be more concerned about whether they can read or not. But don't tell me it's an energy crisis. Let me tell you about the energy crisis we had at East Fork Consolidated High School when I went to school. Woo! We didn't have no energy crisis because we didn't have no energy of no kind. We didn't have no running water. We didn't have no natural gas. We didn't have no electricity. We had a big wood heater. If you got cold, you could put some wood in there and build a fire. When you wanted to go to the bathroom, you raised your hand and said, "Teacher, may I go under the hill?" You know what? Those of us in that underprivileged school that wanted to learn how to read, learned how. Do you hear me? We learned how. And talking about don't go to school enough, we started in September and didn't go but a half a day because we got out early to pick cotton. Then when the spring would come along after Christmas, we'd get out a half a day to go home early and plow and plant crops. We didn't have but 8 months school all told. And we didn't go but half the time then. But those of us who wanted to learn how to read, who had mamas and daddies who told us that we wasn't underprivileged and we had the right to learn how to read if we wanted to. Listen, I studied by a coal oil lamp. If some of the people of today had known the situation I was in, they'd have told me how bad off I was, and I'd have probably grown up not being able to read. Yeah, but nobody told me. While I was flying to Nashville to do the Grand Ole Opry here, I got to thinking about them eight folks that finished East Fork Consolidated High School in the year 1944. Whatever happened to that underprivileged bunch that went to that school with that energy crisis? And I got to thinking about where they were. The first one I could think of, he's a retired Army colonel. The next one, he's a retired commander, served in the United States Navy. The next one is very wealthy in real estate. The next one, he's a top chemist for a petrochemical company in America. The next one, he's a top geologist for a top oil company in America. The other two, they were girls and they married well. And last but not least, those people who vote on such matters say for the last 5 years in a row, he is the number one country comic in all the world.
Today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Janet. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Six is in studio with me. It's 12 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. And,
The hour 12 noon, 12 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock.
No, we're going to do the show over again. We're going to start all over again from scratch. That was Johnny Couldn't Read. Who was the guy who did it?
Jerry Clower.
South Carolina, I think you got it right. How do you know all this stuff?
Oh, yeah. I know the king from Yazoo City. Oh, Jerry Clower. You got to listen to some of this stuff, Tracy.
Oh,
especially the one about when the squirrel got loose in the church.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going that far.
South
Carolina.
Tracy, you listen to that, you'll find out redneck humor is really funny.
This guy
is as funny as Richard Pryor, only he's black, only he's white, and no cuss.
Are we allowed to say redneck? That's not politically correct, is it?
What, redneck?
I've been called a redneck my whole life. I don't know.
Hey, Alex, is that politically correct?
I don't think it's probably not politically correct, but it's not politically incorrect either. It's kind of a gray area, I guess.
I'd rather be called a redneck than a cracker.
Okay.
Tracy, you didn't give us a warning, man. I saw somebody on here talking with an inflection like they God or something. They need to cut that off. I thought it was somebody on the phone talking. I said, man, you need to cut. I started to say it. Too. I was like, man, you need to cut that inflection off, man. You're trying to sound like you all up over everybody, you know. You get out of that bathroom or wherever you at.
Alabama, you have issues. I'm looking forward to meeting y'all. You know, one day God's gonna bless us all to have enough money to where we can all come in the same place at the same time.
We're gonna have a Tracy and Friends convention.
Yeah, we're gonna do
Tracy, if you have money, why don't you have that financial show you've been talking about for years? You ain't did yet.
Which one?
You talking about you was gonna have? You said this last year. One day I was out. I was talking about we gonna
gold?
Get. Alex was talking about. I said Robert Kiyosaki has a now bring the guy that.
I asked the guy to come on. He was supposed to call me back and ask. And I honestly. They were supposed to call me back, and I actually forgot, so I will follow up on it. All you gotta do is remind me. I forget. I'm not perfect.
You need to post that on Facebook, too. Let us know in advance, too, because we're not going to be ready for it.
Y'all ain't going to be ready for Friday. Y'all not ready.
Jonathan Kahn is Friday, right?
Yeah. Jonathan Kahn is Friday. He's the guy who did the Harbinger. Y'all not going to be ready.
Stanley's not around, though.
What did y'all do to Stanley? Speaking of Stanley. I left one day and Stanley never came back again. What did y'all do to Stanley?
Who is the guy? Who is the guy y'all talking about? Friday.
Stanley. Oh,
no,
Jonathan.
I know who Stanley is.
It's Jonathan Kahn.
Who is that?
Jonathan Kahn wrote a book called The Harbinger, and he says America's under judgment. Tomorrow we're going to be doing we're going to be talking about Mahoning Valley, and Youngstown is going through a transformation that you guys, those of you who don't live in the city. And don't live in our area, you need to listen to where we came from and where we are right now, because we've come a long way, and it'll really, really blow you away what we've come to and what we've gone through and what we're doing.
I heard the other day, Tracy, that the V&M Star expansion is going to need to be twice as big as what they're building.
Yeah, and we're going through a tech belt insurgence. Money's coming in here, and I'm going to be very, very candid in my conversation, because you guys don't realize that in what's coming in here, people of color are not capitalizing on it. And you can't understand how much of a devastation that is. Next week, Michael Mallow, M-A-L-O-O, will be with us. And we're going to be talking about Syria. And he's a conservative writer from World Net Daily. 314, your mic is on.
Oh, hey, this is Kevin Jackson. How are you?
Hey, Kevin Jackson. Look who calls in. How you doing, honey?
Good, Tracy. You had me so confused on the dates of when we were supposed to talk. I was like, man, I don't even know when to call in this girl show.
See there? I know.
Hey, I ain't trying to put you on Front Street. I'm just telling you, I didn't know when. And
I
so,
told you, and then it would be the last email, but actually, you emailed me and told me that was a bad day, and I said, okay, that was yesterday. But I'm glad to have you now. I want to know why you letting Juan Williams' son be the leader of the Republican African American outreach.
What?
What do you mean what?
Who Juan Williams' son? Who is that?
That's what I said. Juan Williams' son. Juan Williams' son. You know who Juan Williams is?
I know who Juan Williams is. I don't know who his son is.
Okay. Well, he has been hired to become the Republican National Committee to help with the outreach to the black voter.
Oh, well, okay. Look, I'll put it to you this way. My team decided we were not going to follow the Republicans, the RNC, nothing. They can do what they want to do. If people think that the RNC is going to make a change, fine. But we've already started our next program. We're raising $20,000 a month to run conservative-based ads in the black community, and the first one is amazing. It starts out talking about how powerful we are as a people. How the things that we've gone through, you know, sharpened us, made us stronger, you know, tempered our steel. And so we're going to start pushing these conservative messages. First, they're going to start off just kind of saying, hey, you know, we are somebody, to quote the non-Reverend Jesse Jackson, but to really to show that there's more to us than what they're telling you. And then we'll start hitting hard in things like education, like this scandal that's going on in Atlanta. And some of the other things that I've learned, and I'll tell you, I was on the south side of Chicago yesterday, talking to black folks over there, and I'm talking, I was at a Republican event. There was 100 black folks when I got there, and 3 white people, 100 black Republicans on the south side of Chicago, and more of them pouring in as I was getting ready to leave, and including, by the way, Nation of Islam people and flat out street thugs. And they were all telling me to a person, we sick of Democrats, they ain't doing nothing, you know, we want to support, they're supporting Paul McKinley, who's running in Illinois too for Jesse Jackson's seat, everybody is geeked up, and the guys were telling me it's the first time in my life I've even thought about voting Republican, but I'm voting for this man. So there's a lot of change that can happen, and we're going to be at the forefront of it, and I don't care what they do with Juan Williamson. You know, good congratulations for that next, you know, supposed outreach that they claim they're going to do year after year and nothing happens.
Do you think that, because I've got to ask you, because, I mean, I'm looking at some things going on here in the state of Ohio and across the country, and, guys, your lines are on, so if you wanted to pop in and say something. I am concerned that this same-sex marriage issue,
mm-hmm.
and the Republicans, instead of them standing for what their platform is, them folding on it is going to hurt even the African-American outreach.
Well, I think the stance on it is ridiculous for a couple of reasons. Number one, it would be when you talk about the word marriage, it cracks me up because it would be like me saying a piano is now a guitar. And you'd say, but Kevin, a piano can't be a guitar. No, a piano is now a guitar. We're just going to start calling it that. And you would go, but it's a piano. No, it's not. Marriage is defined, period, man and a woman. Now, civil union. That in other words, if you want two ladies to get married, call it ladyism. I don't care. Give it a name. But marriage has a name. And we continually fight over the lexicon when, in fact, I'll give you a good example of how you know you can get back at the gays in this gay marriage thing. You ask them this. There are people who live together, and you guys know, you know, in the old days, my grandmother called it shacking up. Right. So they shack up. There are many states where you can have a civil union, you can get all the rights and all the things that you know that you would get as a married couple, but if you're shacking up, you can't get any of those rights. So there are people who are in heterosexual shacking up or homosexual shacking up relationships that don't have the rights that, quote, gay civil unions have. So why aren't they fighting for their rights? So all I'm getting at is, you know, we look at these things. It's a definition. I don't call it a civil union. If you want to call it something else, if it's between two women, call it civila union. I don't care. But we should not fall back on marriage and give that word away because that's all they want. They don't care. You could say to gays, we're going to give you all the rights of marriage. We're going to call it civil union, and you have full rights across all 50 states. I guarantee you gay people would say, nope, we want marriage because marriage is founded in religion. And they want to destroy the bedrock of religion. That's what
they want
the
affirmation
does.
Of it. They want the affirmation of it.
Well, no, I'm saying even if you affirmed it as being equal to the word marriage, they don't want that. They want marriage because that would destroy the bedrock of and the foundation of the church. That's all this is about. And here's the other thing. If you want to be gay and you want to believe that there's a God that says it's okay, go start your own church, have your own ceremonies, and then let the government interfere with that. Because government starts interfering for one reason. They find out there's money there. All this stuff was a religious institution. Marriage was religion. It had nothing to do with government. Africans jumped the broom. Nobody cared if you jumped the broom or you did broke the wine goblet and called it Mazel Tov. Nobody cared. Government said, you know what, let's put a license, let's make them license this. We can make some money. Okay, let's make it to where if you do this, you know, you got to go through this to get a divorce. We make some money. Everything with the government is about building a system that creates cash flow for the government. That's all this is. And for them wanting to steal the word, I think is ridiculous. And I think that for us even discussing it, knowing that the rights of people shacking up are less than the rights of gay people in a lot of municipalities, is it goes to speak to what I'm talking about.
Okay, and I agree.
I agree
with you. But my issue is, you know, when you look at what's going on, and as a conservative,
mm-hmm.
and looking at the Republican Party and looking at them bend their platform. Because I've always pushed that it is the platform that pushes the personality and not the personality that pushes the platform.
And well, I don't disagree with you, Tracy. To answer your question, the Republicans will fold on every issue that comes from the left, particularly those that have social attached to them. If it's financial,
who is Juan Williams? What's his name?
Juan Williams.
Is his name Steve?
His son is.
I'm just asking.
Hold on, I'll give it to you in just a second. I got to get that line back up. You know, Kevin, introduce yourself while I'm looking that up.
Oh, well, my name's Kevin. I'm Kevin Jackson. I write a blog.
Tell me a website, Law, because I don't think I mean, you jumped in and I know who you are, but I didn't introduce you.
Yeah, I run a blog called The Black Sphere, and I'm a syndicated radio host out of Florida. I took over for Neil Bortz in some markets, and best-selling author, a couple of books, The Big Black Lie. My book that's out now is called Sexy Brilliance.
What's Sexy Brilliance about? I haven't read that one yet.
It is it's really sort of a look at all the things that liberals will tell you about us, and then I just tell you how much they lie. You know, they say, oh, you know, Republicans are this or conservatives are this, and I go, yeah, they say this, but let me show you this. So I literally, everything, whether it's religion, whether it's taxes, whether, you know, hiding from taxes, whether it's homophobia, you name it, racism, every little, you know, bastion of liberalism and the idea that they are the keep, you know, the purveyors of all things honest and in with integrity, I just poke holes in it because it's easy to do. That book could be longer than Tolstoy, War and Peace, and I could have five volumes if I wanted to keep writing it. I just had to stop.
His name is Raffi, R-A-F-F-I, Raffi Williams, son of moderate.
Okay.
But I'm not surprised. I mean, look, the RNC is looking for bang for the buck. So they're going to get, you know, here's Juan, who's a moderate, which, by the way, supposedly, which that should tell you something about his son who watched his dad and then became something different. So that should tell you right there. But, you know, if it generates enough press for them, keep in mind that is a fundraising machine. So they need, you know, we got Juan Williams' son. So now they go out and say, we're really going to do some outreach. And let's face it, Juan Williams' son, if he'd been hanging out where I was yesterday, he'd have been scared to death. He's, you know, I'm not questioning his blackness. I'm just
that's
saying.
That's not about it.
Well,
my question is, there are many of us who have been out here a very, very long time.
Uh-huh.
Working as a conservative, trying to let people know that don't allow the liberals to demonize the Republican Party because they're not as racist as the liberal party that you say you're a part of. And they try to paint who was it, the preacher, President Obama went to whatever church he went to Sunday, said that the conservative right?
Yeah.
Right.
Want to put you in the back of the bus.
The most ridiculous, you know, and that's what bugged me about Obama, is he could easily diffuse these types of things. He could say, you know what, I went to the church, happy to go, but I got to tell you, I distance myself from those comments. That is just flatly not true. It'll never come out of his mouth. And most politicians won't do it. And to be honest with you, the Republican Party, they don't really want to address it. I know they act like they. Well, because there's too much money in the other side of it. Think about it this way. So right now, everything's on blackness. And I mean, I've seen more racial stuff in the last couple of weeks than I've seen in a few months. And let's face it, there's been a ton of racial stuff going on since Obama's been president. I mean, from Holder and, you know, not prosecuting, you know, black folks and all this. And it's just been racial this, racial that. If you don't like Obama's policies, racist. But it's even been amped up more recently. So you ask yourself, what happens if Obama becomes a miserable failure? I mean, he already is, but he continues. And 2014 is going to be a banner year because when Obama tax kicks in and all this unemployment continues to rise and they can't keep the genie in the bottle, it's going to be a big deal. So he fails. The Republicans will win over dramatically. So their strategy isn't what you think. Their strategy isn't let's go get the black vote and do all these other things and let's change politics the way people like us would do, Tracy, and maybe the people on the call, on the phone with us. Their strategy is let the pendulum swing the other way. We're going to win, and then we get to feed at the trough for another 4, 8, 12 years. And that's all it is. The pendulum keeps swinging. One group feeds at the trough. The next group feeds at the trough. Now, why do I still represent myself as a Republican and still, you know, try to change that party? Because it's the only one that's changeable. It's the only one that we could potentially get control of it that has the infrastructure in place to do that. And they're changeable because they're a lot more fearful than the left. The left is fearless. I mean, they're a bunch of pansies in some respects, but in other respects, they are fearless when it comes to dealing with people because they know people have short attention spans.
How can you say that they're going to change that is even feasible to change when they go after Tea Party people or people that are for like a Ron Paul or how is that feasible? Because I mean everybody gets their margin orders from the Karl Rove camp. So how is it?
Well, the money and all that
comes from that way.
You just gave the answer. Well, first of all, Karl Rove. Every time you turn around, he's being demonized as much as anybody else. And he's not just demonized from the left. He's demonized from the right. There would be a time when nobody would ever say anything against the Karl Rove. He was considered God, and people like him are considered God. They are amazing fundraisers, and they can shift elections. But now you have people on the right attacking Karl Rove. I'm sure Tracy could probably name you five or six people that are prominent that say we're backing away. Certainly the grassroots movement has.
But you partially answered
the question. You have a Rand Paul who is truly one of the guys that I believe.
I said Ron Paul.
Okay, well, I'm gonna use Rand Paul. I thought you said Rand. Rand Paul is an example of winning over and getting that person in. Ted Cruz. Look, when I was in D.C. a month ago, the big buzz in D.C. was how those two guys are shaking up the establishment. They have these people running scared because these are people that are going up there and challenging. They're not sitting in front of these committees and giving these senators, you know, and Hillary Clinton and these people on Benghazi softball questions. They're asking the tough questions, and they're saying, why aren't you fired? Why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this person in jail? You know, they're doing filibusters. They are rattling the cages of everybody there.
But don't think it doesn't go unnoticed.
You know,
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying as far as on that regard, but that's almost kind of like worrying about the ant at the front door when you got a bunch of vipers in the back door. If you're not going, nobody's really dealing with the Federal Reserve and really dealing with the real root of these problems. I don't see that coming from anybody.
Anybody that gets
close to the presidency that's up in the polls outside of Rand Paul, he's the only one I saw do that. Who else?
Well,
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I disagree with you. I think that there are watchdog groups for every segment of government. There's a whole slew of people that are doing nothing except talking about audit the Fed or get rid of the Fed. There's a whole
where?
Slew
where,
of people.
Where? I mean, where are they? I don't see them.
Hold on,
Alabama.
Kevin,
for example, Tracy.
Yeah?
For example, yes, South Carolina. I don't know if you guys remember David Stockton. David Stockton was a Reagan's budget director. Matter of fact, he quit. The Reagan administration, you know, because of his disagreement with Reagan's budget at one point. But this guy is ripping Ben Bernanke
mm-hmm.
all over the place.
He's doing it right now.
So there are people out there. You're just not seeing them in your usual news outlets.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to disagree with that these people don't exist.
Alabama, the issue is the media in which we have outside of some talk radio and some conservative talk radio, you're not going to get it because the communication source is limited when it comes to mass media.
Well, but let me make one other point real quick, Tracy.
Yeah?
So let me make one other point here. So, look, you're right in the respect that first of all, the mainstream media is never going to do this. But so you have to ask yourself, what's bubbled up since the start of the conservative movement being the Tea Party movement? What's bubbled up? So you've got a whole media system that people don't really understand. So you got the Breitbarts, the Daily Caller, the Drudge Report, et cetera. Now, remember when it was only the Drudge Report, he was the breaker of news. Now you've got Breitbart, who's got all the bigs. You've got the Daily Caller, and there's a couple of others, the PJ Media and so on. But here's what people don't understand. They now are running true media desk. Some of these people have a seat at the table. I mean, they are actually in the press room. You may not see them asking questions with ABC and NBC and all that, but they're in the press rooms. They're following stories like Benghazi and Fast and Furious, and they have beat writers that are doing that. They have undercover operatives all around. Now, it's a very young media in comparison to CNN, in comparison to, you know, Fox and those others, but it's very real. I don't know if you know this. The Washington Times is now going to be doing their own TV show to compete against Fox because they say Fox is not hard enough to the right. So you're starting to see these things develop, but what I can promise you is the outcropping of the Tea Party movement has put somebody on every piece of legislation. When Obamacare comes out, the very first thing that happened was there's a bunch of policy nerds that said, You're not going to believe this. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you gotta know my folks. I have. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, but I'm just saying there are people monitoring everything now.
But let me,
how effective can they be? That's going to depend upon how many people support what they're doing. You know, and
There are people like me, and we struggle every day. You know, to pay the bills, get it going, and to make it happen. And to make sure that common sense radio, and I don't want to call it conservative radio, just common sense radio, because I think right now we're losing common sense. And
oh, no doubt.
And we're getting the message out. But when I look at the Tea Party is everywhere, even though it is a loose-knit organization, and I understand their passion, but their ignorance is going to kill all of us if we're not careful.
Let
me finish what I'm saying, because what they do is they go out to steer the ship, and you can't turn all ships fast. And that's being real. And we see them going into places and trying to turn the ship fast without knowing how it actually operates.
Completely agree. I completely agree. And it is something that so there are some groups that are doing it. They're pacing themselves. They understand it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And there are others that you said are trying to turn an ocean liner on a dime. Ain't gonna happen.
And I have right now in my party, in the Ohio party, we are getting ready to change chairmanship because our current chairman is stepping down. And we have a gentleman who is a Tea Party, and I brought it up a little bit earlier, but he is a Tea Party, he's called Tea Party Patriot, and he's running for chairman. And now we're also going into a gubernatorial race next year that is going to be very, very important to the state of Ohio, because the last thing we want is another liberal wackadoodle being governor of the state of Ohio when we're making systemic changes of growth. And because of their lack of knowledge and because of their ignorance and because they're good-hearted, they want to get things done, they're going to split this state down the middle if they're not careful, and I'm going to get a wacko in there like the last one. I'm serious. Who is going to turn the state on its ear? Because right now they tell me where we live in the valley in which I live and actually broadcast terrestrial, we have enough gas and oil here to set the Middle East on fire.
Yep, there's more.
But if I'm not careful and who I make as governor and I put a wacky guy in there, it's going to change everything that goes on inside of the state of Ohio. And it will actually kill more people than help them.
Yeah, but Tracy, that's true of any political cycle. And I can't tell you what's going to happen this cycle versus next cycle. All I can tell you is 5-6 years ago, the majority of the people, I can tell you personally, I had never been to a political rally, never really done anything outside of, you know, curse at the TV periodically. Politically, that was it. Now I've been to hundreds of political stuff, and you know, I'm a rising, you know, person into the ranks of the body politic to whatever degree. And I'm not trying. I'm just – my thing is I'm passionate about what I do, so I'm going to keep doing what I do, and where I end up is only God knows, and, you know, because it's his plan. But all I'm getting at is there are a lot of people that feel that way, and some of them are rising, and some of them are just saying, I'm going to be active. And we have a level of activity that's never been there, a level of oversight, a level of insight that people have that politicians are afraid of because they're so used to you being like little lap dogs, and as soon as they're done with you and you throw the little ball over there, you go get it. We're not doing that. We're staying on point, and we're not winning all the battles. That's why they're doing trickeration. Obama's using executive orders, and he's going around Congress, and Congress is pulling all their shenanigans. But we're finally starting to get a new flux of blood in there that where people are saying, you know what, the political climate is different. And there's not a person in D.C. that will not tell you the political climate is very different than it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Are they getting anything done?
Well, you know, it depends on how you define it. I don't. What I would ask you is almost, what did we stop? you know, there was like the Internet Amendment where they wanted to be able to put the kill switch on the Internet. What more, you know, we thought we'd stopped Obamacare. We certainly put in a yeoman's effort to stop Obamacare. When that kicks in, I think there's going to be a lot of reason to repeal it. I think there's going to be states' rights issues that come up. I think a lot of groups are working on right to work. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are behind the scenes. They're small things. How many, you know, look at the number of governorships we won. Look at the number of state legislators that we overtook.
Mr. Jackson, I want to ask you a question. Just get your opinion on something. So
sure.
let's say one of these guys that are of the mindset, like what you just described, gets close to the presidency. Let's say somehow we actually have a real, a high level, and he gets in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just from my personal understanding, I think these people have killed. Do you think that would actually happen? Do you think somebody would actually get in the White House and actually get rid of or try to abolish the Fed and do you think this stuff is really going to take place?
I believe that okay, here's what I will tell you what I've learned about politics in the 5 years that I've been doing this. Politicians will do what you remember the movie Gladiator where Maximus is a slave, but he's fighting and he kills all the gladiators, and then the audience is cheering. And he looks around and he says, "Is this what you want?" You know, and he's yelling and he's mad and he throws his spear down at the end. And then the guy calls him over and says, "Look, man, you need to chill down. You own the people. That's bigger than the emperor. When you own the audience, you are bigger than him." And remember when he goes and fights in Rome. And he wants him to kill the guy who the emperor set up to kill him, and he gives him the thumbs down, and Maximus walks away and says, "No, I'm not killing him," and everybody cheers, and they call him Maximus the Forgiver, or the letting the guy live. And the emperor is like, "It vexes me that I can't kill him." And the black guy in the film says, "They can't kill you until they kill your reputation." That is where we are. We are gladiators, and we're looking for a Maximus, somebody that will lead the people. I mean, I'm not talking about one person. I'm not looking for a Moses here. But what you do is what politicians respond to. That's all they care about. They care about that and money. So when they figure out that you're not going to let them do it, they're going to have to re-change their system. So the short answer is, no, I don't think any one person's going to do it. What's going to happen is you as citizens will rise up and say you will not spend $800,000 studying duck genitals, which, by the way, that was a real thing to study. $800,000 to study duck genitalia. You know, $2 million to study it was some other animal that they were studying. It was a sexual orientation of snails. Why would a snail choose sex over asexual reproduction? You know, things like this that your tax dollars are going to. And when you finally say enough is enough, and, oh, by the way, I want government out of all these other things because the private sector can do it, they will start to listen. But you got to get in there soon enough, because it's a bunch of attorneys up there writing laws that affect you that they exonerate themselves from, and they've essentially written themselves license to steal. And I mean literally they have license to steal.
Kevin, I am watching, and I got about 20 minutes before the end of my day. But I'm watching people be brainwashed, and I use the African American community because I think they are a pilot program for mass control.
Because there's no question.
When I look at what's going on, and I applaud the Tea Party, I applaud what everybody's trying to do, but the undereducation, the ignorance of our society right now. When I go back to this same-sex marriage thing, I'm looking at Pentecostal people, Pentecostal preachers sitting up, not saying a word. Yet I had to wear a dress and down to my ankles, and a shirt up to my neck, for years, while they preached holiness and don't have sex without marriage, and now we've just lost our minds.
Well, but okay,
I'm serious. We're going to get people in and they're going to organize, but how can we organize as conservatives to get people knowledgeable enough so that they can actually stand up and realize that they're free enough to move the country in the direction that they choose? Because right now, if you look at what's going on, even with the Obama New Organizing for America, whatever that's called,
You see him brainwashing people with pictures and crazy moments that have nothing to do with policy, while Connecticut goes and strengthens their gun laws, while we're having problems with education across the nation. And we're, and no one knows how to move anything, including the people who want to move it. They have no clue.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the two ways that we're getting. There's one way that's being, their education's being doled out, and it's through the system. And we just saw the Atlanta's a perfect example. You've got the fox watching the hen house. So you have educators who get paid to not educate. All they want is the money. The lady who was the whatever they call it, superintendent, got $500,000 in bonuses because she had a whole group of people sitting around changing test scores. Now, ask yourself, did they care about how the education of those kids? Of course not. The textbooks are being dumbed down. Think about where it started. It starts in kindergarten. A friend of mine wrote a book about it, and he says, you're taught bring something for everybody. Even if you don't like the kid, bring something for them. Maybe your mom just wants you to bring something for your two, three little homeboys, but no, you got to bring it for the whole class. You have a party. You got to invite everybody to your party. Even if you don't like them or you don't like their parents, everybody's got to get an invitation. Everybody gets one cookie and all this stuff. So they teach mediocrity. They teach you don't do anything. Maybe I'm bigger than you and I need two cookies, you know? They don't teach that. They teach you to become a drone, to become part of the communistic system, and then we wonder where it comes, where it goes. But that's number one. Number two, it is an echo chamber of ignorance. There is no other voice in the black community. There's no messaging that goes there. Listen to a black radio station, and you will hear Republicans are bad, Democrats are good, progressive, progressive, progressive this, progressive, progressive. And nobody's talking about building CEOs and things that would make you proud of your heritage in a way that would make you go. Most of the people on this call, I can almost guarantee you, somebody in your family told you, you better grow up and be something, and if you're going to really be something, you better be twice as good as that white boy or that white girl.
Absolutely.
They told us that, and it wasn't a racist statement. They wanted to instill in you to not just be a little better, be twice as good, because that's what's going to make you stand out, and that's what's going to get you a foothold. And we don't say that anymore. We got a culture of people that have their hands out, and they're blaming white people.
So when I say this, right now, if you look at the suburban areas, they are becoming the inner city. I've got a man in here. He's my co-host. We call him Sticks because he lives out in rural America. Rural America is now following suburban America. And we're watching all of this, and everyone is being dumbed, and taken for granted, whether they be Republican and or Democrat. And now we want people to arise and follow me, but they can't follow me because they don't even understand that they're free. They don't even understand that they have the power to do so. So when you talk about politicians, we've got politicians here who have no business being in office, but because they're a nice guy, we vote for them. So what if you get caught with pot?
Tracy, let me ask you something, though. Like, I look at the politicians and black conservatives and things, and I hear information and stuff, but I do think, and I heard a pastor say this a long time ago, you can't just give people information, because a lot of people are information rich but resource poor. And I feel like, you know, a lot of these Republicans don't want to truly – when you start talking about giving people ownership of their own, then you're going to help some people. But when you're just talking about – if you just say job, that worked 30, 40 years ago, but that don't work now to me. I feel like you have to think – I don't care if it's – you know, you have to think in that entrepreneurial – way, and I think that's the only way you're going to really make inroads into an African-American community is starting to really talk about giving people ownership of their own. And I don't hear that coming from a lot of people that say they want to help minorities.
Well, earlier I made that same statement. You know, who is out there preaching, you know, small business ownership and entrepreneurship? I asked a direct question. Has anyone heard President Obama speak about that?
No, he talks about
he ran for office.
No, he talks about the government dole. He talks about unions. And, in fact, most of the things that you'll find liberals talk about are things that are antithetical to the black condition. Minimum wage. It cracks me up. Minimum wage was meant to keep blacks from getting jobs. The unions were meant to keep blacks from getting jobs. Social Security didn't cover the roles that black people played at the time. It was actually meant to exclude blacks, which, by the way, they would have been doing us a favor. We should have really taken them up on that one. The point is, all the things that they talk about don't speak to who we are. And I'll tell you something, and this is what it goes unnoticed by a lot of people. Blacks are extremely entrepreneurial. We own a lot of businesses. The only problem is most of them are illegitimate. We're doing That's hair true. On the side. We sell drugs on the side. We do bootleg DVDs. How many black dudes do you know on a street corner that think they can rap or spit some lyrics that'll come to you? Dude, here's my CD, man. Check it out. You know, give me $2 for this right here. You know, I'm going to blow up, you know, and they're going to tell you how good they are. I get, when I'm going through the hood, I get accosted by these guys telling me, here's my CD, man. Here's my CD. $10. We are entrepreneurial. We are salesmen by nature. And we all have somewhat of a hustle. I've talked Absolutely. About this. I may have even talked about it on the Tracy Show, but we've got to hustle. So the only thing is that we settle for the little baubles that these guys, these leftists give us, and nobody's telling these black guys, look, man, let me take that hustle of yours. Let me show you how to really turn it into something. You're an entrepreneur. I want to take that strength that you have, your sales ability, and I want to take it away from you macking on girls and put it into something that you can be real about. But we aren't doing that. So part of our message
is going back to what we're talking about, Republicans, we're talking about conservatives, when we talk about recruitment, see, our message should be what you just said as conservatives. As conservatives is, let me, as a conservative African-American, help you, or a conservative white person who you think is so bad, let me start building businesses and start depositing businesses into the inner city and help pulling you out of where you are so that you can understand that conservatism is not about race, but it's about independence.
Well, Tracy, we're doing that. One of our projects, we take the grassroots people, we have them, you know, 50, 100 at a time, go to a restaurant, go to a black business, do nothing except know the owner and support him. Thank him for his capitalism. Thank him for his entrepreneurial spirit. Thank him for employing people in his community and helping to build that community. The second phase of it is we're bringing interns. We're saying to a guy that's really doing something in his community, you know what? You're doing a great job. We want to bring an intern in to learn from you. And which is solving teenage unemployment. Now, I mean, needless to say, we're only making a dent, but it's a positive message, and it's coming from the grassroots. That is exactly the program that we're starting.
But I
can't do it by myself.
But I want to know when I want to see Republicans show up. See,
I'm not worried about.
Because see, I'm politically motivated. I am, because I think everything in the world starts with politics. Because God, politics. God, country. Because what happens is, I believe my faith moves me, but my politics shape me, and so everything that I touch has a political arm to it, because there's a piece of legislature behind it, and I need to see Republicans come out and indoctrinate us on independence, just like the unions come in and indoctrinate us on dependence.
Okay, but let's, like I said earlier, I'm not going to wait on them to do more, to do something. That's always been our problem. We're waiting. Let me tell you what people do. Here's what I will tell you about human nature. The minute – okay. Let's say, for the sake of the discussion, all of us on this call went to school together. Some people thought Kevin was cool. Some people were like, he wasn't my cup of tea. But I blow up and I become, you know, the next version of Prince, and I got 13 platinum albums out there or something. I guarantee you, everybody on this call, not in a bad way, is going to say, yo, Kev, what's up, man? You know, we went to school together. They're going to come after me. And some of them are going to be, you know, genuine, I'm happy for your success. Others are going to be hangers-on or whatever. That's how the Republican Party works. You go do something successful, I guarantee you there will be a politician that will get in your face and go, hey, what's going on? It happens to me all the time. As soon as I launch a project, hey, Kevin, listen, I saw your project about this. Let's sit down and talk. And so you draw them in, flies to the honey. And eventually they will – that's why I said they will play the game.
Case in point, Ben Carson.
There you go.
I agree with Tracy to a certain extent. I do feel like we need resources more than – I mean, I like the program you just described. That sounds good.
It's wonderful.
But people, where can I get a loan? Where can I get some funding? Most businesses fail because we trying to do it on a dime or out of the trunk of our car. We don't have no money. We underfunded. Bad credit, you know, stuff that, or if you got good credit, they still want you to have, you know, you got to come in there with $300,000. This is something I want to do. I'm going to need $300,000 liquid. I've been
told
that.
Look, like I said, the way you started, look, you can't solve all these problems. These are problems that we've created amongst ourselves in a lot of ways, but you can't solve all of them. But what I will tell you, because I've done it, when I was on tour, I went to a black restaurant. I took 100 people there. There were 12 people total in that restaurant. I took 100 white folks to this soul food place, and we ate, and it was the most money that dude made on that night in the history of his restaurant, because they said it, and he was grateful. And I said, you want these white people to come back? And he chuckled and said, yeah, and the white people laughed. And I said, you guys want to come back and help support his business? Absolutely, we will. I don't need you to come back as 100. You can come back 10 at a time or as a family, but support his business. And introduced him to this young black man who was in his 30s. All his staff looked on. And I said, this is the Tea Party group that drove past 100 restaurants to get to your restaurant. In my tour, they picked your restaurant because I told them I'm only going to have dinner at ethnic restaurants because I want you to get introduced to the people in your community. And I said, that's why they're here. They chose you. And he was like, I appreciate y'all. And it was a great time. And I know they've been back since. Now, that isn't going to solve all his problems, but on that night, it solved his problem because he had 12 people in that restaurant total before we were there.
I think we're on two separate pages. I appreciate that. But see, when I only got one restaurant, you can only eat that burger so often. And in my city, where 98% of African Americans stood in line on a fabricated lie that they were trying to suppress the vote in the state of Ohio to vote for President Barack Obama because it was a lie. It was a lie. And to know that the owner of the restaurant, he stood in line with the rest of everyone else, even though he didn't like the policy set forth by him. That's a problem for me. And I need to address that problem because legislatively right now, and before you came on, we talked about a lot of things today. We talked about people under felonies. We talked about people who are incarcerated for drug use in the community. We talked about the lack of education. We talked about racism. We talked about homosexuality, the new norm. We talked about education. We talked about all these things in the last 3 hours. But when the deal goes down and I have a candidate who's going to try to increase your quality of life, and they happen to be a Republican on the ballot because they won't kiss the ring of the Democrat, just on the local ballot for mayor or for or city council or for county commissioner, and you still vote straight down ticket, it causes my city to be in demise.
Well, look, Tracy, I don't disagree with that, but I just came back from the south side of Chicago working on Paul McKinley's campaign. He's running against Jesse Jackson for Jesse Jackson Jr.'s seat in Illinois too. And I watched the dude who had an event over at a place called Mr. G's, which y'all should know, that's in the hood, right? Mr. G's, and they had the buffet set up, and I watched while I was there, 100 black folks were in there, 3 white people, one of them was a media guy, and it was in straight up dangerous area of south side of Chicago, but we were all there, and it was street thugs, I'm talking about pants hanging down, grills in their mouth, and it was Nation of Islam in the same setting. And to a person, every one of them said, I'm voting for this Republican. And I asked them, I asked the street thugs, I said, yo, man, what's up? You know, let me talk to you for a minute. Why are you supporting Paul? The young dude said, man, I ain't never voted and ain't even cared about politics, but, you know, Paul's my man, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm the first time in my life, I'm going to vote Republican for this dude right here. And then I went to the Nation of Islam guys, and they said the same thing. The point I'm making is it is changeable. Kevin? Yeah. It's changeable. But listen to what I'm saying. I appreciate the Jesse Jackson won. But I got a problem, and it's huge, and I can't wait for Jesse Jackson won because we are in serious demise where I live when it comes to education, when it comes to economic development, and when it comes to employment. Because right now, our politics are screwing us live. And if we're not careful, we won't be able to make it.
Listen, I'm at the end of the day. I got to go. We'll see. Kevin, come back and hang out with me again.
All right, Tracy.
The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I'm at the end of my day. I want to thank Kevin for calling in. I've been trying to get him on for a while, and it hasn't been working out. So I'm glad that he came in. South Carolina, Alabama, Alex, Sticks, it's always good having you. God bless you, and have a good day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the
believing good of all mankind.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends. That's www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
County had just taken office this year. In his campaign, he vowed to clean up drugs in his part of coal country, and in February, he oversaw the arrest of more than four dozen suspected dealers peddling prescription drugs.
Some of these drug dealers are actually giving it to middle school students and high school students to get them addicted.
Local press reports suggest Crum was sitting in his cruiser having lunch when he was shot point blank. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
A district attorney from Texas was fatally shot just days ago. The corrections commissioner in Colorado shot last month. Connecticut lawmakers are poised to pass the toughest gun laws in the country just months after the Sandy Hook shooting. State Senator Martin Looney.
There is nothing in this bill that should be seen as improperly infringing upon the rights of legitimate gun owners under either the Second Amendment.
Gun rights owners groups don't agree.
It's a farce. It has no relationship to Sandy Hook, in our opinion.
Robert Crook with the Coalition of Connecticut Sportsmen. A new video shows chaos inside New Orleans jail.
You can get what you want to hear, man.
The video is shocking. Inmates play with a loaded handgun, snort cocaine, down pills, use cell phones, drink beers, and gamble with wads of cash inside their cell.
I'm talking about, it's real.
The video was shot by an inmate and was released in federal court as evidence supporting the need for jail reform in New Orleans. It was recorded years ago, and the jail in the video is now closed.